timeline, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, wanna party on my
I dream of a meat hook running up your rectum.
That will be definitely uncool.
I'm not comfortable with this dialogue.
Hello, I'm Gwyneth Paltrow. I've starred in such films as Jane Austen's Emma, Great Expectations, and I even won a Golden Globe for my work in Shakespeare in Love. Now, I love acting, but the thing I love most in the world is watching hardcore porn. I don't care if it's chick on chick, guy on guy, two girls and a guy, or two guys and one girl. When I'm in my trailer on a movie set, I've got to have my porn.
These gentlemen are here to talk about Beaver.
Well, whenever the urge hits me to take care of some business, I will, you know.
Right.
Just like something come over you, like.
What's the matter, Charlie Brown? Don't you think it's great?
Everything great!
Good guy. Nice man.
And now, George Bush doesn't care about black people.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Our feature presentation. Cow?
Oh, come on. How are you going to come at me like that? I was so happy to see him when I got home yesterday afternoon. Oh, my God.
You give him some baked goods?
I didn't, actually. He'd just eaten, so.
Those of you just tuning in about 20 minutes ago, we gave some highlights of Bean's cow, who loves baked goods.
He adores them. He's a pancake enthusiast. My cow.
Do you have to put the enthusiast on the end of everything?
Well, no, it's just that, I mean, that's the right word. That's the appropriate word for somebody who is as enthusiastic about baked goods as he is.
Bean is the word enthusiast.
That's true.
I am. That is true, actually. But he's old, and he's having a lot of trouble getting around. It's sad. It's hard to watch your pets get old. You know
you
what
think
I mean?
The pancakes are weighing them down?
No, I don't think that's it. I just think he's got got some trouble in his bones. He's an old man.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Dinner for a month.
Oh, how dare you.
Saying dinner for a month.
How dare you.
I'm sure he'd be good. Tastes like pancakes. Why these burgers taste like pancakes. How odd is this?
I don't think he... We do threaten with eating because she is so cranky and so obstinate and so unfriendly. We do threaten to eat her. But I think after they get to be a couple of years old, I don't think they're any good anymore. I don't think you can eat an 11-year-old cow or something.
Oh, is that right? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that's not how they age the beef.
Okay, you're right. They outside the cow rather than inside.
Old,
exactly.
Old cows make good leather, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're making him a coat. Don't get me wrong. He's going to be a coat.
I like that Bean takes the mean one and threatens him.
I do.
I swear to God, I'll eat you. I mean it. You better behave.
I love you, but you're going to be delicious. That's what I tell her. She's so cranky. I had her since she was 10 months old, and she just tolerates me. I'm her food bitch. You know?
Yeah.
That's just frustrating. I love her so much. She wants nothing to do with me.
That pretty much sums up your relationship with all people.
Maybe that's true. Maybe that's what it is.
All right. Well, Kevin and Bean Show, it's 5:32. It is Monday the 7th.
So not Monday.
sorry, I'll start again.
Okay.
Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
The 7th of March. Bow, bow.
That feels better.
All right, good.
Thank you.
Yesterday we had our breakfast with corn. I hope you were able to hear that. If not, we have some highlights for you.
So good.
Coming up very soon.
Oh, I love that.
They were great, weren't they?
Yeah. They really were.
It's really amazing to watch guys. And, you know, they kind of had to rework every song.
Yeah.
Because Korn doesn't exactly write them to be played acoustically, nor did they, really.
Yes, walking the line there.
At one point, I went up to Jonathan and I said, this isn't really unplugged. You know that, right? He's like, yeah, I know. Absolutely.
For them, it's unplugged.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
You know, we had a couple of people who emailed us yesterday because they were watching the webcast, and you can still see it online. Go to krock.com. You can go through the AT&T Blue Room site to actually see our breakfast with Korn. For a few more hours, it'll be up. And they were saying the least likely guy ever to front a band like Korn, a hard rock band like Korn. If you didn't know who he was and saw him in a lineup with a bunch of other people, you would not pick him out to be the leader of a heavy band like Korn.
No, that's true.
I mean, he's just very, you know, soft-spoken and quiet and no offense intended, but, you know, kind of feminine a little bit, you know?
Only when he talks. You know what I mean?
And like, you look at him.
When he sings,
you know,
yeah.
not macho by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, okay, not macho is a good way
to
say
like
it.
Not like you.
Yet he brings it. Well, yeah, not everyone can be, you know, the brawny man. But he totally brings it, though. You know, he can do it.
The brawny man. And the other guy is so fantastic in that band.
They're great.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Monkey just hanging out, walking around the crowd, handing out stickers, shaking people's hands. It was very cool.
It was good times.
It's hard to get bands to get up at that time of the morning, and they did, and they were ready
and
to sing.
They weren't cranky?
They weren't cranky at all, even though you could tell, really, honestly, none of them wanted to be there.
Well, I went to wash up right before the Corn Breakfast broadcast started down there at Capitol Records, and I was in the bathroom at the same time as Dale Bozzio, who was doing the same. And he's the drummer for Corn on this tour. Did I say Dale? I'm sorry, Terry. Yeah. He's the drummer on this tour, replacing David. And he was in there just like shaking his head. And I said, yeah, it's a little bit early for rock and roll, isn't it? He said, it's a little bit early for anything. A guy like him doesn't get up really at 8 o'clock in the morning or before very often.
Well, they've made their livings, during the opposite hours.
Yeah.
They make their living between 7 p.m. and 4 a.m.
I don't think they stayed up all night.
No.
But a lot of bands do that if they need to come in at 7 or
8. Yeah, I would just stay up all night. I think if you're used to staying up to 4, why not stay up till 7 or 8 and just power through? Speaking of which, Skinny Puppy on the show today. Going to be performing live.
That's cool.
Sick puppy.
Sick puppy. What did I say? Skinny. Did I say Dale?
It just
puppy?
Happens when they get sick. They get skinny.
Is that what you meant?
Going to the next.
That's what I meant, yeah. Oh, wow. It's going to be a good day.
You can tell we're all a little dragged here.
It's going to be a good day.
Well, at least it's only Monday.
It is only Monday. See, because Terry Bozzio was the drummer, but Dale Bozzio was the singer. That's why I got them confused, because she was the singer.
I don't know.
Terry Bozzio's band, Missing Persons. That's what he's most famous for.
Yeah, I don't care.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that info, Dean.
Cow? Anna? Anna?
Mohinder?
Mohinder!
Also on today's show, we have some highlights of the Pussycat Dolls.
Oh,
is this their search, TV show, The Search for Some More?
Yeah, and...
Pussycat Dolls?
Yeah, they're looking for a new pussycat doll, yeah.
Are
Who
we
isn't?
All?
Yeah.
And so that's a TV show that is tailor-made for us, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Thank God a band that already has 6 members, none of whom do anything, needs a 7th. That's what I love about that show. That's a band that's really hurting.
And you're complaining? Are you complaining about that?
Well, I don't get it. I don't understand the whole... I don't understand why they need another member. That's all I'm saying, I guess.
Because more is better. Yes. Sick dolls.
They're hot chicks. Why wouldn't you want...
They should have 50 if they can. You don't... What the hell?
No one cares why. They only care that they need another one, and they're going to do a TV show about it.
So it's kind of part American Idol, part, I guess, this show?
Right.
Part what? I don't know.
Part Dancing with the Stars.
Part Heat.
Oh, they dance the stars.
They dance, right?
Yeah, I know, but not like that.
All right.
Also on the show, we are going to talk about the animal funeral, the wall-to-wall funeral coverage that cracks us.
Yeah.
Anna... Mohinder?
That's, I believe, Entertainment Tonight, and is it The Insider?
The Insider, yeah.
Yes.
Paid, I think, $4 million is what we heard.
To stupid Howard K. Stern.
So that they could videotape it and stretch it out over the course of an entire week. And that's good times right there.
Yeah.
Cow? Mohinder? Anna?
Okay, all right.
Go.
And that. And I don't know if you've heard the latest rumor about Brittany and Kevin, but Ralph was talking about it yesterday in his Showbiz Beat, that not only did she do the 666 thing in her head and try to hang herself with her sheets, supposedly, allegedly, but they're also talking about getting back together and having another kid. And that's good?
No, that's not what they need.
That's
they
bad.
Still got two under two, for God's sakes. What are they doing?
Well, at least they're spending a lot of time with them. I think that's good.
There is that.
And also the world's fattest mouse on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. So that's all coming up this morning. We're going to take a quick break, and we are going to come right back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat next. All right, it is 5:46, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Everyone's saying watch American Idol tonight if you want to see some interesting body language between the women and Antonella Barba.
Oh, really?
According to TMZ.com, the rest of the women on the show are pretty ticked off and downright chilly to Antonella ever since she's been
made more popular than they are by appearing nearly naked on the internet?
Because they think she has an advantage that way?
Because they're just catty bitches.
Right, but I mean, that's probably why,
that's
right?
That's part of it, I'm sure.
She's getting all the attention. Right. And we're singing.
Well, we're singers. She's hot, ladies. Welcome to the world, okay? This is something you're going to need to learn anyway when you get off American Idol, is that that's how the world works.
In a related story, the protest over Frenchie Davis having been booted from the show 4 years ago went off as scheduled yesterday in front of the Kodak Theater.
So she's been added to the show now?
No.
Not so much.
No. And even Rosie O'Donnell had to chime in yesterday.
Well, she sticks up for fat people. You know that, right?
She jumped into the fray yesterday on The View saying that Frenchie was booted because the show is racist.
She said that?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And Elizabeth Hasselbeck, in a rare moment of clarity, said, couldn't it be that Frenchie was booted because the internet site was a pay-per-view porn site and Antonella Barber's pictures were for personal use? And Rosie said, it doesn't matter. Antonella can't sing a note anyway.
Nice defense.
Boy, she has gone from 0 to 60 on the bitch-o-meter ever since she joined that show.
She's just so hateable.
They told her, you know, she said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to be nice and, you know, we'll talk and this is resurrecting my career. And now she's become the same crass, shrew that she was when she left television.
She's always mad and hateful. Yeah.
That was stupid!
That's what she said to her afterwards.
By the way, if you're interested, you can go on eBay and bid on the Antonella Barba piece of toast that is available.
What?
Apparently someone claims they have a piece of toast with Antonella Barba's picture on it.
With a picture on it?
Like the Virgin Mary?
Yes, exactly.
So what if Antonella Barber was actually the Virgin Mary?
I don't think she's the Virgin Mary. You know what I'm saying?
$18 is the bid so far if you want to.
Bean? God. Toast.
Toast, Bean. Two of your favorite things. Toast.
But wait a minute. Is it the fully clothed, the topless, or the porn Antonella?
I myself have not perused eBay to the point where I've actually seen the photo.
Makes a difference to me.
I'll do some research and get back to you.
I wish she were a better singer. It'd be easier to root for her if she actually had some talent beyond what we saw in the photos.
No one. No one on the show has any talent this year. I'm off. None. I'm interested. Uninterested.
Aren't there two girls? There's two girls that are kind of vying for the top?
Don't care.
No?
No.
Lakeisha or whatever is one they always talk about?
Owen Wilson and Kate Hudson seem to be going public with their relationship. They've been seen holding hands and kissing in Australia. They're being photographed. And according to IMDb.com, they are in an official relationship. They're in a happy place.
Okay.
Good for them.
TMZ also ran the story, no one cares. Kanye West is denying now the story I brought up last week that he was having a takeout Indian food from Wales to the United States, bringing the chef and his ingredients along so they could be made fresh for him.
Yes. That was a good story, though, Ralph. We chose to believe that.
It is a good story, but Kanye says he wasn't even in New York City where the Raj restaurant was supposedly having the meal flown into yesterday. So he said it couldn't have been him. Okay. Must be some other rich superstar who placed the order.
Did somebody ask
Finish
him?
Finish this sentence for me. Kanye West is...
Black?
He's from Chicago, isn't he?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
Somebody should have followed up and said, did you fly him to Chicago?
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that I did, yeah.
It was a connector flight, that's what it was.
Well, not New York.
Portland County Federline is now showing some support for his soon-to-be ex-wife, Britney Spears.
Oh, no.
Word has it that he has shaved his head.
Oh, in support.
In a show of solidarity with his lunatic wife, Britney Spears.
Hasn't he kind of always had a buzz cut?
He's gone from long hair to the cornrows to short hair, but apparently he had been growing it out, but he decided to shave it to show some support for his locked-away wife.
I saw a video of that from his parents in Las Vegas over the weekend, and it looks way better on him than it does on her.
Oh, no question.
You think?
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan, speaking for the first time about her trip to rehab, claims that it saved her life.
You mean the rehab that she got out of and then went immediately to a nightclub to celebrate?
Yep. She said she went to the hospital, and she got her realization when the staff told her that she would die if she didn't take care of herself. Lindsay said, I heeded what they were telling me.
Lindsay said that?
Yeah, well, someone slipped her the word heeded, I think.
Her publicist, maybe.
In a related story, In Touch Weekly Magazine says Lindsay Lohan failed to show up on the set of her latest movie, I Know Who Killed Me, this week.
Oh,
excellent.
No.
She's back to her old ways, keeping the cast and crew waiting for hours for her to show up. When she finally showed up, she announced that she needed a nap. After a five-hour nap in her trailer,
5-hour nap.
Witnesses on the set say she threw up and went home.
Oh my God. If she doesn't have the alcohol to blame now, though, what is she going to say?
Dehydration and exhaustion?
Sure. Wow.
It turns out our own Kevin and Jake Gyllenhaal have more in common than we first imagined. Other than the whole, you know, Horseback Mountain gay thing.
How dare you.
Apparently he's fixated on underwear.
Oh, he is like Kevin.
Just nutty for underwear.
I'm not nutty for it.
Oh, please.
You can change your underwear every hour, Kevin. Come on.
You went on the internet and ordered a pallet of underwear. Only because it's shipped to your house.
Only because it's the best underwear in the world and they were stopping making it.
But it's just underwear. It's just underwear. You just put it on your ass.
It's just underwear for you because you have nothing to support. I got
thicky. What makes it the best underwear in the world?
I got thicky. That's all I'm saying.
Well, then you should have some craftsman come and bring some sheet metal and just craft you your own particular crotch rocket.
The way I am. That's good.
Shoppers at Bloomingdale's told the New York Post that Jake spent a lot of time in the undies section of the store, and he had a sales guy on hand checking out every style and color intimately so he could make the best choice.
Well, he's asking him, does this look good on me?
He's probably like, ooh, what's this made out of? No, they were just opening packages, and he was comparing, and he was doing a lot of comparison shopping when it came to the underwear. Because, you know, certain kinds of underwear are much better than others.
They are, actually.
Apparently, Onlooker said, Jake looked a little confused, as if he'd never seen a pair of underwear before. Which I think is funny. And Joel Madden from Good Charlotte, oh, he's in trouble.
Now what?
He was hanging out with his girlfriend, Nicole Richie, at Mr. Chow's here in Los Angeles on Sunday, but now he's being accused of hitting a female photographer who's filing battery charges. Apparently, as they were leaving, the paparazzi were shooting photos, and Joel, according to the paparazzi, hit the woman with the heel of his hand in what the Beverly Hills cops are calling forcible contact. The photographer claims she has a welt on her breast to prove it.
A welt on her breast.
Dude, how hard do you have to hit a chick in the boob to give her a welt?
Yeah, no
like
kidding.
Like a kung fu chop. Anyway, now they may be pressing charges.
I have a question for you. Who's trying to take pictures of a guy in Good Charlotte?
It's Nicole Richie, I'm sure they were after.
Oh, they were after her, all right.
And for Psycho Mike, we have the latest in the Jared Leto story. I did mention to you that Jared broke his nose when he was stage diving at a concert over the weekend.
Right.
Here's what we didn't know. The reason he injured his foot and broke his nose, nobody cared enough to catch Jared as he jumped off the stage.
No. Wow. What a hit. So he just hit the ground.
No.
Yes.
Oh, that's
the crowd parted like the Red Sea.
Get out of the way, he's jumping.
Why would they do that? That's usually what the kids in the pit want, is that sort of
funny
contact.
You know, it's possible they were just not paying attention at that moment or whatever.
Apparently, that's what witnesses say. It wasn't that they don't love Jared. It's just that the crowd surfing stunt happened with zero warning. Nobody saw it coming. And next thing you know, just a body flying through the air and people just tried to get out of the way to avoid injury, I guess. And Jared hit the ground pretty hard.
No, that isn't good for you.
No, he's going
to
be like,
all right, you people want me to jump?
All right, I'm jumping. You got about 5 minutes. I'll be jumping. Everyone,
here I come.
Okay, middle of the next song. Middle of the next song. Where we all gather in front of the stage, and I'll plan a jump. All right, I'll count it down.
3, 2, 1, jump!
And you know I love the collectibles, the memorabilia.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Big auction yesterday in London at Bonham's Auction House, legendary auction house there in England. A lot of stuff went up for grabs. Some very cool movie things. The dinner jacket, the tux jacket that Sean Connery wore in Thunderball, the James Bond movie.
Yeah.
That went up for auction. That was pretty cool. Costumes from Indiana Jones, Titanic, Superman, and Harry Potter are all auctioned off as well. But the big money maker for the day, the cloak worn by Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Star Wars movies.
Oh, no kidding.
Wow.
$104,000.
Does the cloak have the force with it?
It better for $104,000.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's the cloak where Obi-Wan disappears during the lightsaber fight with Darth Vader, right?
Yes,
falls to the ground. And
yes, Roland, it is. Being who's seen Star Wars 114 times.
Yes.
That is a famous piece of movie memorabilia.
How many times, Bean? How many times in the theater?
Star Wars?
Yeah.
The original Star Wars?
Yep.
Yeah, it was 30-something.
30.
But this was, again,
something
way
in
before way before DVD or anything.
Right.
So you had to see it. It was your only choice is to see the theater.
Oh, and see anything 30 times.
Or just go twice and go, see it?
Wow, I know that movie really well now. I've seen it twice. A lot of it is in my mind.
Is it twice really a lot for you?
Yes,
it is.
Yeah.
You go see a movie again?
If I go to a theater twice to see a movie, it is
totally rare.
Exceptional.
I haven't gone to see a movie twice in many, many years, but this was, you know, I was a young man then.
So you had more energy.
I understand.
No.
I was young once too. Didn't go to see anything 30 times.
No, there were only 10 movies made a year back then, Ralph. That's that was part of it.
Oh, I see. Didn't have anything else to do with it.
That's the matter. There's just nothing you can say that makes me want to go 30 times. One movie a year. That's it. I'll see it twice.
Yeah, if I had a bed of nails waiting for me at home, and then there was a theater around the corner, I saw a movie, I'd just go lay down.
That isn't good for you.
Happy celebrity birthday to Bryan Cranston. He was the actor who played Hal, the dad on Malcolm in the Middle. Very underrated actor, I think. He was enormously funny on that show. Really talented guy. 51 years old today. Laura Prepon, who played Donna on that 70s show. She's 27 years old today. And Rachel Weisz, the constant gardener from the Mummy movies. Oh, I just love her. I just love her so much.
She's awesome.
I think she needs at least two bells.
Rachel Weisz, Rachel Weisz.
That's
Idol
Weisz.
You have been in some movies. I wouldn't go 30 times, even though you're hot and sexy.
It's an R. Kelly rhyme, but okay.
She is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So yesterday we had our breakfast with Korn. So this is Bean speaking. I was down. We had a fantastic time down there at Capitol Records Studio for the breakfast. And so I'm flying home yesterday. And you know how when you fly, you know it's a hassle and you hate it and it's a pain in the ass and you just can't wait it to be done.
Well, but at least it's always on time. That's good.
Exactly. And you never, you know, Kevin, and you fly a lot too, you never sit next to anyone that you want to sit next to, right?
No, you sit down and you go, please, please, no God, no God, no God, no God, please, no God, no God. That's what guys think.
Right.
And it's always a no God person.
Exactly. It's always a fat white businessman. That's I mean, that's mostly who's flying, especially during the week when I'm flying, right? So, you know, yesterday, like usual, I'm sitting there in my little seat and I'm watching the people walk through and there's like two hot chicks on the whole plane. And of course, they walk on by and they get to sit next to somebody else because they never, ever sit next to you.
Right.
But what are the chances yesterday that the guy who comes and sits down next to me is a celebrity? And not just a celebrity, but somebody who, if I were to sit down and write a list of the five people alive today that I would most like to have a conversation with, he would be on the list.
Oh, that poor bastard, whoever he is. The five people you would most want to have a conversation
now, you won't care about my guy, okay? But I want you, Kevin, to think for just a moment. If you could pick anyone in the world to sit next to on a plane for 2 hours and 15 minutes, who, you know... Think of somebody that you would like to sit next to.
My top 100 would be women.
Well, yeah. Believe me, the first thing I thought is, please let it be Petra Nemcova. Please let it be Petra Nemcova. But aside from that, aside from just the drool factor, just somebody that, you know, like, I know how you feel about, you know, like Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah,
maybe
Zach.
Bono would be your guy.
Yeah,
maybe Bono is a good example of this guy is to me what Bono is to you. Okay?
I'd rather sit next to Zach De La Roca because I've talked to Bono before. He's very cool. But Zach's one of those guys you never get to talk to. So
right.
he would be my dude.
Okay.
All right. So you're sitting there next and Zach comes and sits down. And the first thing you think is, oh, my God, that's Zach De La Roca from Rage Against the Machine. I can't believe how lucky I am.
Right.
This is so awesome.
But then before I go on, here's my thought process. This guy doesn't have any interest in talking to me, nor should he. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that's
interesting.
That's what I would think. Honestly, I would say, you know, I know I'm excited to sit next to him. Maybe I'd say I love your music or whatever. But I don't think I just think how interesting could I be to him?
Well, at least in the case of you and Zach, though, you would have something in common because you know the other guys so well. You could say, hey, Zach, it's great to see you again. I'm, you know, Kevin from K-Rock. We've talked to you before. You know, how you doing? You know, or something. We're looking forward to Coachella. I mean, I think you might make a little bit of small talk.
I think I probably would, but I would feel like a douche.
Well, let me tell you so that you can mock me right out of the way who my guy was.
Can I guess?
And then, yeah, please do.
The Postmaster General.
Oh, don't even get me started. I would never have left hanging onto his leg if it had been Sweet Jack Potter. Are you kidding me? He would have had to drag me down the tarmac as he left that plane. He
first
would never
of all,
get rid of me.
You know his name. Second of all, do not put Sweet along with Jack Potter.
Well, it would be too much to hope for. Although
Barry
Jack Potter would be
Gay Manilow.
That's a good guess.
Oh.
No, but he wouldn't be flying coach. All right, go ahead. Who else?
Okay. Buzz Aldrin from Apollo 11.
Really?
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
Buzz Aldrin is, for folks who don't know, and again, I knew Kevin wouldn't care, but he is the second man to walk on the moon. He's the guy that, he's got to land it on the moon. He's got to land the Apollo 11 lunar module on the moon, okay? So he is, I mean, talk about one of the most famous people in history, okay? I mean, he's freaking Buzz Aldrin.
Now,
all
before you go on with your story, I would like to tell you what Buzz was thinking as he walked down the aisle.
Buzz
Aldrin was thinking, God, I hope I don't sit next to somebody who wants to talk to me. God, please make it somebody who's not going to talk. I need to get my my iPod going so that I have earplugs in, so that'll give out the signal I don't want to talk.
So I'm sitting there next to, you know, I'm a space fan, as you know, and Buzz Aldrin is one of a handful of men who have ever walked on the moon, and there's so much more to talk to Buzz Aldrin about. I mean, this is a guy who...
Pretty unique.
At 72 years old, beat the crap out of a guy who came up to him and wanted him to insist that the moon landing was fake. Okay?
Right.
Remember that guy was 20-something. Buzz was like 72. He decked him.
Wasn't Buzz also a pilot where he tested new, you know, planes and stuff? He's one of those guys.
That's
is that
him?
He did a lot of that too. I mean, he was an Air Force colonel and everything. Yeah, he tested a lot of planes and stuff. And all of those guys in the early, you know, those early space missions, that's where they came from as test pilots and stuff like that.
Please tell me this story ends with you getting punched by Buzz Aldrin.
the guy's just a legend. So then I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, oh man, he's the guy, he's 72, he decked the other guy. How cool is that? And then I'm sitting there thinking, well, I'm not going to bring that up because then I'm just, you know, it sounds like I'm mocking him or it sounds like I'm taking it, you know, because he's a serious guy. I don't want to say that. What am I going to say? He's Buzz Aldrin. He famously reported that the Apollo 11 astronauts thought they saw an alien spacecraft on the way to the moon.
Oh, no kidding.
Who loves UFOs more than I do?
Yeah.
True.
I don't want to bring that up because they'll think I'm mocking him. They'll think, you know, I'm making fun of the most important man. I don't want to say that. Oh, what about when he was on the Ali G show? Remember when he was the guest on the Ali G show? And Ali G was talking about walking on the sun and why don't you land there at night and how embarrassing. Oh, that probably was pretty embarrassing.
I totally forgot about that. He was on the Ali G show. For those of you that don't know, it's the same comedian that did Borat.
Yeah.
Did Borat, right. So I don't want to bring that up. I can't say anything about that. And then he's... as we're getting ready to take off, he's making some calls. Very busy guy, by the way. He's got he's filling out his date book all the time, and he's working on his BlackBerry, and he's returning calls. I mean, just a busy, busy guy.
He wasn't busy. Here's what I'm telling you, Bean. He's not a busy guy. He was acting busy so that the guy sitting next to him on the plane wouldn't speak.
It seemed to me like he was just trying to take care of a bunch of business before he had to put his electronics away and take off, right? So at one point, he's making a call to somebody, and he loses the connection. The phone dies. And I swear to God, the first thing I thought was, they can put a man on the moon, but they can't make a cell phone connection that doesn't drop. And then I thought, oh, I can't say that.
You didn't say that. Good. Good.
I didn't say that. But
so far, so good.
How often do you have a chance to say they can put a man on the moon to a man who was on the moon?
You should have said it.
I guess.
How often does that happen?
You know what you should have done? Here's what you should have done. You should have said it as if you didn't know who he was. That's how you should have done it. You could pull it off that way. And he'd look at you and go, are you kidding? And you go, no, I'm just saying, cell phones. That would have been awesome.
So I didn't say that. And,
by the way, this is amazing restraint from Bean.
That's what I'm saying.
Bean does not have the chip in his brain that says, no, this guy won't want to talk about that. He doesn't have that.
I'm also amazed at how many things he knows about Buzz Aldrin that he could bring up.
That's Bean.
I mean, my question would be, so, dude, what's the moon like?
Dude, how was it? And then you're out, right?
I'm done. That's all I got.
But I'm saying Bean never self-edits.
No.
Everything that comes to his mind, like my cow loves baked goods, he just spouts out. He knows that there's no audience for it, and yet he still does it.
He can't
and
stop
somehow
himself.
He was aware enough to not bring up all those things.
You know what it is, guys? As much as I am a fan of, say, you know, you brought up Barry Manilow, for instance, as an example. I love Barry and have been a fan my whole life. I would be delighted to talk to Barry. Okay? But I'm so in awe of astronauts. I mean, they really are like a lot of people. You know, you're little kids and you grow up in the space program. It's just this thing that you'll never accomplish that is so cool. It's like the single coolest job in the world is to be an astronaut.
Yeah,
let's face it.
There's
not a kid in the world who didn't think at one point in his life, oh, my God, I want to be an astronaut, right?
I didn't, but if somebody said to me, would you like to be, I would think, yeah, that would be awesome.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, there's certainly, if you stop and think about a guy who's actually been on the moon, that is a rare.
They're kind of heroes.
Yeah. There's like a dozen of them in the whole world ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So only one person on the plane came up and asked for an autograph, and that was the pilot. The pilot came out
The pilot
right before
of
we took
the plane.
The pilot of the plane came out.
Sure.
And he asked for an autograph. He said, you know, Colonel, it's such an honor to have you on the flight. Would you mind signing this autograph for my little boy? He had a little four-year-old son. And Buzz was very accommodating. And I'm thinking, maybe I should get an autograph. Maybe I should ask him for an autograph.
And would you mind taking the wheel? Would you mind coming up and flying this flight?
I was kind of hoping something would go wrong with the plane and they'd have to press Buzz into service. They'd come on the little intercom and go, hey, does anyone know how to fly a plane? And Buzz would go, I can fly the plane.
Is there an astronaut on board?
So I thought, you know, the guy's got to be 75 now, right, or so. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not going to be around forever, God bless him. I thought, maybe I get an autograph from Buzz. And then I thought, the guy's probably been asked a million times for autographs. Again, do you want to be that guy?
No, but see, that's where you excel, that you are that guy.
I'm not that guy, though.
How are you not that guy in this one instance?
Well,
Have him sign the throw-up bag. Have him sign that. That's fine.
Good. Yeah.
All I'm saying, as it started to get near the end of the flight and we're starting to land in Seattle.
And you hadn't said anything yet?
Not a peep.
Wow.
Not a word. I'm thinking, am I a douchebag for not taking advantage of this opportunity as a real fan of this man to at least have an encounter, to shake his hand or to say, great flying with you, nice, you know, thanks for your service. I mean, something, right? What do you say?
And great flying with you. Hey, I really enjoyed sitting next to you, being quiet the whole flight. It was really cool.
I couldn't think of anything that I would say.
Flies in coach like you. Woo!
That would make me feel like I'm not a geek. So I ended up not saying anything. I ended up just
ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't talk.
Being speechless.
I had plenty to say, as I think I've demonstrated, but I just thought I'm going to be just another geek that this poor man has to encounter, and for all that he's done, doesn't he deserve like 2 hours of peace and quiet?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But that's never stopped you before.
You're always the geek.
There's only one other time I've seen Bean speechless, and that's when we were on the field at Dodger Stadium, and his favorite Giant, what was his name?
Will Clark at the time was my favorite baseball player, yeah.
Bean was like a little schoolgirl. I was like, there he is right there. Go up and say hi. He's like, no, I don't want to say anything. I was like, what?
And it's funny because with this job, obviously, we interview lots of people. You know, everybody from, you know, music stars, film stars, you know, politicians. We interview a lot of people, but there are just a few. And I think it's a carryover to the people that you admire the most when you're a little kid. I think that's what it is. I think there's something about a professional baseball player, because that was such a big part of my life is following and loving baseball. And the space program, I think those guys are too big for me to have a conversation with.
But for you to hold your tongue for 2 hours.
I know.
This is a guy who's got diarrhea of the mouth. He can't stop speaking. This is a major milestone for you, Bean.
I agree.
You've actually made a little progress in your human condition.
Do I have to come back next week for another hour session, though?
Oh, my God. If Lisa and Ralph and Omar and Mike and Lightning and Alex and Dave go to the moon, will you stop talking to us?
You know what's really funny, though, is that I felt I made the right decision by not saying anything. And then when I got home and told my wife about it, she was actually furious at me because she thought, what a wasted opportunity. Yeah. How could you not want to ask these questions? How could you not want to talk to him? And in retrospect, I wish I had for 2 hours solid insisted that he fake the moon landing. I wish that the entire,
draw a punch.
Exactly.
That should have been your goal. I'm going to get punched by my hero.
I'm going to, whatever I have to do, I'm going to figure out a way. Got to grab his nose, whatever I got to do. I need Buzz Aldrin to take a swing at me.
Yeah, you want to grab his nose.
Or whatever it takes. By the way, here's how much of a space nut I am, just to put a PS on our Buzz Aldrin conversation from a moment ago. I went to see the freaking astronaut farmer. That's how much I love space, all right? True.
Did you see the astronaut farmer? I'm so surprised you didn't
say that to Buzz.
How could he not have spoken? That's just, I don't believe you. I think you're just saying that to make yourself look better.
I swear to God, it's the truth, because I got an assful from my wife when I got home for blowing the golden opportunity to talk to Buzz. But what are you going to do? It's 6:50 Wednesday morning. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
How about a little email to start off the Showbiz Beat? Dear Ralph, my girlfriend and I went and saw Wicked on February 17th, and I totally understand what you're saying about Megan Hilty. I'm totally infatuated with her. Dude, the chick is hot and talented. Can't get much better than that. Jason from Huntington Beach. So I want to thank Jason for writing. Even though
we're not having her on, Ralph.
Even though my showmates don't get it. You're just not listening at this point.
We make Lisa be quiet when she's talking about plays.
But this girl's hot.
Yeah.
No, that's not either.
Okay, sorry.
I'm going to win you over. We're going to have her in. The show will be gone. She'll be in Boston performing Wicked, but still, we're going to have her at that
point.
You
can do that on your Broadway podcast.
I'm not giving up the Megan Hilty.
I have this bad, bad feeling that Kevin and Pete are going to be on vacation one day, and Ralph is going to be in charge.
One day? Next week?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Coming up.
Oh, it's going to be all Megan Hilty hour. That's what it's going to be.
It's the Ralph and Megan, 8:20. Good morning.
Speaking of live performances, I want to give you a heads up. If you are a fan, as we are, of Richard Cheese, you remember Dick Cheese, don't you?
Sure.
He's performing at the Derby in Hollywood on Tuesday night, March 20th. So if you haven't had a chance to see Dick Cheese live, here's your opportunity. You can find out about, he's doing two nights actually at the Derby. I think one is sold out on Friday, March 16th. So they had to add another one. They're adding the Tuesday, March 20th show. So if you'd like more information, you go to richardcheese.com and they'll tell you how to get tickets if you want to check out Richard Cheese live and his orchestra.
Mohinder?
No, he won't be there, I don't think. Well, looks like Kevin Federline still has a soft spot for his wife, Britney Spears. According to the London Sun tabloid, he's showing her support these days by shaving his own head.
Okay.
Apparently, we found out about this because he was in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And Kevin was there at the Mirage Hotel with Sean and Jaden. And, you know, there's no place better for newborns and toddlers than Vegas.
Brought the little ones to Vegas.
He was there with his mother-in-law, Lynn Spears, too, by the way.
That's kind of weird.
What if he's sleeping with her?
Dude, wouldn't that be great?
That'd be the awesome. But he has a baby with her.
Yeah, Brittany, we're like, still husband and wife, but now I'm also your uncle, your new stepfather. Yeah, it'd be very confusing. I guess he's a built-in babysitter.
Sure.
He brings her to Vegas.
Right.
No. And, yeah, he apparently had shaved his head, and insiders say it's because he wants to show Brit some solidarity, yo.
And that's how he does it?
Yeah, exactly.
By banging her mom?
Hey, what the? Oh, Omar, you got to be so happy.
Yes.
What's he happy about?
Wouldn't you like to know why I think you have to be so happy?
Yes, I would, Ralph.
Well, Omar, Rachel Ray was walking her dog in Union Square Park in New York last week.
She get hit and killed?
No. Oh. Apparently, a stray dog came up to hers and started to act aggressively, and a fight ensued. And some other dogs got involved, and apparently Rachel Ray wound up getting bitten on the leg.
That's what I'm talking about.
The time was all said and done.
She's getting what she deserves.
Omar hates Rachel Ray. We're not quite sure why, but...
He bought a box of Wheat Thins with her picture on it and literally drove back to the grocery store to return it because he doesn't like her picture. Yeah. The guy wouldn't take it.
He's cut her photo out of the box now.
It's an unnatural hatred. I don't like her either.
The wax bag kind of sticking out through the Wheat Thins box.
I can't give up my Wheat Thins, dude.
I don't like her either, that seems like it's a little extreme.
You know what I would do? I would transfer the Wheat Thins from the box into some sort of Ziploc baggie or something. I wouldn't cut her face out of the box.
It's on there like four times. It's got like four holes all over the box. Yes.
You know she has like a wax museum? I got to go melt that thing.
She has an entire museum
dedicated to herself.
Wax, you know, Madame Tussauds or
a wax
whatever.
Figure of her.
She's got a wax figure. I got to go melt that thing or do something to it.
Or shows up with a blowtorch.
What's this? Oh, I'm just carrying it.
Yeah. Eva Longoria's in hot water with her pals over at Desperate Housewives. Apparently, she was on television and she spilled the entire storyline about what's going to happen with her and her on-screen husband. She said, no, we're not going to get together now. We're going to have a big fight. But he's not leaving like everybody thinks. Next season, we're going to get back together and it'll be a surprise.
Did it not occur to her that that's the kind of thing she shouldn't tell?
Turns out executives over at ABC were not happy with her spilling the beans on the plot. They like to keep those things sort of undercover.
How about that?
Now, a memo has been released telling producers, writers, and directors not to tell Eva Longoria what's coming up next on the show.
She can't be trusted.
She cannot be trusted, absolutely.
I love that.
Oscar winner Marissa Tomei has a deal to do a new sitcom. It is a comedy pilot called The Rich Inner Life of Penelope Cloud, where she plays a writer struggling to deliver a follow-up to her first acclaimed novel. I'm going to start not watching now. And rumor has it Demi Moore might finally be pregnant.
Really?
How old is she, Ralph?
She's
42,
43?
Yeah.
According to Star Magazine, she has been in and out of Cedars Sinai Medical Center lately, out of the OBGYN section, and she's looking a bit heavier than usual. You know, she's not one for looking heavy.
Nope.
She's usually tight as a drum. So, some people speculating that perhaps she's going to have a baby.
Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their
their love with women all across this country.
Apparently this one was able.
Can't practice their love.
How'd you like to be one of these actresses in Hollywood, Lisa, where if you gain 2 pounds, you're in every tabloid and they say you're pregnant?
Oh, I know. It would be brutal.
Or fat. Yeah, one of the two.
Eat an
olive.
You
wouldn't go out.
You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And MDV has decided that the best way to educate 15 to 24-year-olds about HIV and AIDS is to use something that's fun in the learning process. They have started a challenge called the Change the Course of HIV Challenge.
Okay.
They are giving away $75,000 to a gamer, activist, or student who can come up with the best idea for a video game that helps raise awareness about HIV and AIDS. They hope the game will be a viral video game and go out over the internet for people to play. Do you really want a viral video game when you're talking about AIDS?
No.
Really? Is that the most tasteful way to go, the viral video?
So you're going through the video game, and if you have sex with a condom in the game, you get extra points?
Yeah,
is that
points.
The type of thing they're talking about?
Yeah. You just get one life, though. Your character just gets one life. You don't
one
have to
life.
Come back.
And that's it. You just
you
have to
laser
put a condom.
And you shoot little AIDS virus cells and stuff, and that'd be cool.
Nope.
No, nothing good. I think no one's going to win the $75,000.
I'm not feeling that one.
If you're so inclined, you can go to MTV.com for more details on how you can enter and win. Today's celebrity birthdays: Bryan Cranston, who plays Dad Hal on Malcolm in the Middle. He's 51 years old today. Rachel Weisz, she's yummy. Oh. Constance Gardner, the Mummy movies.
Was it Constance Gardner she won her Oscar for, Ralph?
Yes.
Okay.
Boobs.
She's 36 years old today. I didn't see that Fountainhead, though. I wanted to see that with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah,
that,
I know that one.
Sci-fi Darren Aronofsky movie.
Heard it was pretty honked up.
That her husband was the director of. Supposedly, yeah, pretty fascinating stuff. They say smoke a lot before you go in.
Okay.
Get a big bowl before you see
That's a good tip.
And Lauren Prepon, another one of our favorites over in That 70s Show. She played Donna, of course. She's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, let's say good morning to LaQuisha. Haven't talked to her in a while. Good morning, LaQuisha.
Come on, Kevin and Bean. How y'all doing?
Very good, thank you.
I'm glad you got me back on.
Sure.
I thought maybe you threw me off the show because of those naked pictures of me on the internet.
No, see, that's the difference between us and American Idol, is we encourage naked pictures on the internet. That gets you, that keeps you around longer on our show, LaQuisha.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Although I don't think we've seen the ones you're talking about. And that's probably good.
Hey, LaQuisha, I'm a little bit...
it's probably good?
I'm just saying.
Shut up, Kevin.
I'm a little bit concerned that all of our favorite shows seem to be going on hiatus. There's not a new Heroes till the end of April. There's no Veronica Mars till the first week of May.
Don't need no Heroes, don't need no Veronica Mars.
Wow. Oh, really? Because I know you're a big TV fan, too. What are we doing to fill in the time instead until they come back?
Because now we got Who Wants to Be a Pussycat Doll.
Oh, that was last night.
Last night, the Pussycat Doll's looking for their latest member on a reality show where girls compete to become a pussycat doll.
So basically, it's just how hot are you?
Not at all, Kevin. How dare you?
Well,
these girls are talented.
I'm just saying.
You got to be able to sing, dance, perform, look good. You got to have the whole package.
Okay.
LaQuisha, I don't know much about the Pussycat girls, but aren't they just models? I mean, that's all they are. They're models who lip sync is what I thought.
No, they sing.
What is wrong with you?
Why are you bad? Why do you not support this show instantly?
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me?
Yeah.
That's their big hit song.
Sure.
Okay.
Pussycat dolls are everywhere, Bean. Pussycat dolls are taking over the world.
They should be.
Listen to Mark McGrath tell us about it.
They've taken over the charts with 5 smash singles. They're an international phenomenon. They're the Pussycat Dolls.
They're taking over the charts.
They're an international
phenomenon.
I have managed to avoid them till this point. I guess I'm out of the loop.
You got to wonder, how happy is Mark McGrath now to be hosting a show about another band?
Yeah,
no kidding.
Where his career gone? Well, I'll tell you, these girls are very excited. 18 girls are trying to get 9 spots on this show.
Okay.
And then the 9 girls are going to move into a house and compete as one by one. They are voted off, and they have to turn in their feather boa.
No, they don't.
What I say? Well, one of these girls, she can't wait.
The Pussycat Dolls have been a group that I've wanted to be a part of since the first moment I saw them.
Wow, since the first moment she saw them, the way to last year.
Like a couple years ago, right?
She's been waiting on this for like 12 months. And last night, we got to know more than we ever wanted to about the founder of the Pussycat Dolls, Robin Anton.
Now, the Pussycat Dolls wouldn't even exist without its creator, Robin Anton.
I'm a dancer, choreographer. I've always had an interest in style and music. And I brought all those things together, and that's how I created the Pussycat Dolls.
Wow!
Yes.
She is a damn genius.
She is.
And here all along, I thought she just got girls up in their underwear on stage and had people come and drink and look at them. What do I know? Natasha, this is one of the young girls competing for the Pussycat jaw opening.
Right.
She, well, she's got a reason why she wants to be a Pussycat doll.
I think the Pussycat Dolls have had a large influence on my generation, and that's why I think I've gravitated toward their music.
An influence on a generation?
Really?
Weren't there horrors before the Pussycat Dolls?
How dare you?
Why are you so gay?
These women have influenced a generation. They're look, like they're the Beatles. They're like Nirvana.
But let's not get crazy, Lucretia. I'm not disagreeing with you, Kevin, that they're not pretty to look at, but they've hardly influenced a generation, and they're hardly taking over the world. They're the most disposable things there are in the world.
Shut up, B. Girls are, they are everything. They are powerful.
The Pussycat Dolls should run for president in 08. That's what I'm saying.
You listen to young Britney who wants to be a Pussycat Doll.
The Pussycat Dolls are all about female empowerment, and I'm all about female empowerment, being that I've never had to rely on a man for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go, girl.
Nothing's more empowering for a woman than to put on lingerie and shake her ass for a room full of drunk guys.
Yep. Exactly. It's not Madeleine Albright we're talking about here, people, all right?
Nothing is more empowering.
I hope not.
And she don't need no damn man anyway.
That's right.
They are the Pussycat Dolls represent everything bitter. That's what that girl likes about them. Well, they all start competing together, and we find out some of the girls have hidden talents. Sure, they are beautiful. Sure, they can sing and they can dance. But Angie, she got a gift.
Wait, I can burp bladder. I swear to God. Want to see? Wait, that was nothing. That was nothing. You guys are going to think I'm like the freak. I'm burping like a man.
Angie can burp the Pussycat Dolls.
Yes, she can. This is the golden age of television, isn't it, LaQuisha?
That was on TV. They broadcast that. That showed up on my picture, too.
She wanted to be in the Pussycat Dolls, and that's the direction she took, is my thought.
She's multi-talented.
Right.
Kevin, are you still vouching for the show?
Absolutely.
And Jamie, well, here's the thing. Once they start competing, finally, all the girls get to meet Robin Anton. She finally shows up at the auditions, and it's a very special moment for all the girls.
Hi, sexy girls. How you guys feeling?
Great.
Robin, she's just incredible. You know, just what she's done in the past with the Pussycat Dolls. She's like an icon, you know?
She's an icon.
LaQuisha, I'm sorry.
How come I never heard of her before the show came on? And she's an icon.
Maybe I don't understand this. How long have the Pussycat Dolls been famous?
About 8 weeks.
Okay.
I think, guys, I think I did read a little something about it. I think they've actually been around for, you know, 8-9 years or something. But they just finally...
But that's when they were just dancing on a stage.
Exactly.
And Carmen Electra and Christina Aguilera come by.
Right.
And be special guests and shake the ass and people drink.
Right.
Right. But then they figured out a way to make a record out of the deal, and that's when it all really exploded in the last year or so.
That's
yeah.
when the icon, Robin Anton, put it all together.
Right.
And Robin Anton, by the way, looked like China stopped doing steroids.
Oh, no.
And
oh,
kind of wow. shrunk Ouch. Down, and that's what Robin Anton looked like. Lot of plastic surgeons thanking her for their new Beamers. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Well, Melissa, she needs to win this competition because she got something to prove to Mommy and Daddy.
My parents didn't approve of this career because they're both doctors, and I do want to show my dad that there are different ways to be successful.
How could that make them unhappy? Two doctors raising a young lady who wants to shake her ass in a negligee. Why would that disappoint them so? I cannot believe it. And Shanti, she also has a reason why she needs to win.
I want to make my mom proud. You know, for the longest time when I was younger,
I had so many people that didn't believe in me. I have to do this because I have to show everybody that I can do it, and that I want all those people to just feel so awful when I make it.
Yes.
Wow.
Revenge is really the best reason to pick a career, I found.
Right, exactly.
We heard that from people that were trying out for American Idol as well, that they needed to get to be the American Idol so they could burn people.
I need to win so I can hurt someone. That's why I need to be a winner.
What's wrong with that?
Not about me. It's about them feeling bad.
Right.
Well, they start to enter into the audition process. They're learning to sing and dance, but then, as if in some horror movie, a mysterious illness starts to strike the girl.
Oh.
I can't do it right now. I just feel, like, weak. Like, my arms feel weak. I don't know why.
Well, you're sick. That's maybe why.
Okay.
She got a virus. She got a deadly, deadly virus. Well, not deadly, but it makes you a little queasy.
Is it feline leukemia, maybe?
No, it isn't. It's some kind of stomach funky thing going on. And
uh-oh.
And then the rest of the show is pretty much about vomiting.
Oh, no.
Pretty much.
That's...
And I'll tell you something. As a middle-aged woman who carries a few extra pounds,
yeah,
nothing make me laugh more than pretty skinny girls throwing up. Nothing is more entertaining than that, I will tell you, my friend. First of all, let's talk to Jamie. Jamie ain't feeling so good.
I'm feeling so sick. I'm gonna Ralph throw up any minute.
Now, I don't know if we need to use the word Ralph as a euphemism for vomiting.
Oh, that bothers you, too? Because that bothers the guy on our show.
I think that's rude.
Yeah.
I think that is uncalled for. So I was very pleased to see Jamie worshiping at the porcelain god moments later.
Oh. All times, yes.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I love the fact that the camera follows them in and gets a close-up.
There was actually splashes on the lens of the camera. That's how blue they were. There was some backwash on the lens there. I saw a piece of corn, I think, hit the lens.
Come on.
I saw some like parsley or something sticking to the lens.
Right.
I couldn't be sure quite what it was.
We don't need any more details.
It was very close.
Yeah.
The camera was not far away.
Right. No, we got that. We understand, location, but this is a one-time show, right? It's just a special that they had on.
Why are you a lover of men?
I'm not, but listen to it. Do you want to tune into this show to see No Talent Whores burp and vomit?
Yes! Especially when they're outside of restaurants like Eva was when the virus hits her.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was a juicy one. That was a juicy one.
Who could have seen this coming?
Well, how about Natasha when she's on the way to the audition in the minivan? Can I have a napkin, please?
Oh, my God.
Good morning.
Yeah. Come on.
Things have turned around from the beginning of this show.
Yes, sure was. I'm saying, I did plenty of entertainment on this hour of television. Damn, pussycat dolls. I tell you, they call them the throw-up cat dolls or something. Well, they all go through the auditions, and then they get whittled down to the final nine. They're going to be participating in the show. They're going to put them in the house. They're going to get voted off one by one until we finally have a new pussycat doll.
Right.
But I felt bad for the girls that was leaving because, you know, their hopes were dashed, especially this one young lady who I think maybe just didn't quite get it.
I was never much of a singer, but I just thought maybe there would be something else that they were looking for and it wasn't going to matter so much.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not really a singer or dancer, but I thought I could be a pussycat doll. What show is this? Where am I? The young lady's confused.
What is wrong with her?
But if there's any band you could get into without being a singer or dancer, it would be the pussycat doll.
I guess.
That's a good point.
So she might have a point.
Yeah.
That or like Good Charlotte or something.
But you have to be super hot. I mean, you do have to make up for it somewhere.
And she was, but she's going home brokenhearted nonetheless.
All right. Fantastic.
But next week, the final nine start handing in their feather boas.
I like it.
I sure hope there's more throwing up.
We'll talk to you next Wednesday, LaQuisha.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now. Afroline, 323-520. Afro, it's an answering machine. 24 hours a day. You can leave us a message on any topic, including radio stations that you would like us to get rid of. We have that power.
God damn it, Kevin and Mean and Ralph. It's been one day since I told you about this Go Country 105.1 bullshit, and it's still in the air. Why haven't you fixed this problem? Get on it. That's what she said.
Well, we've been very busy, but I know Ralph is devising a plan to rid the world of all country music, so I'm sure he's got something up his sleeve. Very soon, we'll be unveiling it.
By the way, I don't think we have to. I think we can just let that one go, and it'll destroy itself.
Probably.
You think?
Yeah, it's not exactly setting the world on fire. Lisa May says things that people like to hear over and over again.
F me, F me, F me. F me, F me, F me.
Lisa May, F me, F me, F me. F me, F me, F me. Ding.
Lisa, so great.
Ding.
Did you see that there is a video going around of you at the Santa Anita microbrew from this past weekend?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yes, because yeah. I got you right up there stage. And said I was pounding some brews.
She's like Nick, the window licker. I'm pounding some brews.
I saw it.
That's a fantastic call. Thank you for that. This person just has a complaint about society in general, and more importantly, the price of gas these days.
My wallet just got raped by Shell gas station. Okay, whatever. I'm pissed. I'm going to go home and smoke a bowl. At least that I can afford.
By the way,
makes everything better.
That does make everything better. That's what I was going to say.
California has the highest gas prices in the entire country, by the way, again, right
wow.
now.
Bean worships... oddly enough, the post office has his whole life and loves to go, figures out a reason to go every day. He goes every day on purpose because he wants to. He looks forward to it.
Yeah.
Bean, you piece of crap. I have to go to the post office. F*** you.
Sometimes I don't even pay all my bills at one time. I'll just pay some and then go to the post office and mail them so that the next day I can pay some more and go to the post office and mail those.
Jeez, Bean.
Okay, enough said.
True.
Hey guys, send Psycho Mike into the studio. I need him for this next one. 323-520 Afro. It's Tom. It's a call about Tom DeLonge.
Kevin and Bean. I was driving to work one day and I listened to this clip of you guys stating that it was Tom DeLonge's birthday.
Yeah.
And somebody was doing an impersonation of him, and I was laughing so hard that I got into an accident. Gonna go to Chuck E. Cheese with my dad. Can you please post that clip on the Kevin and Bean Sights and Sounds so I can laugh hysterically at home and be safe?
Tom DeLonge?
I don't know what he's talking about. We don't have an impersonator. Tom DeLonge himself actually works here at Kira.
Good morning. I'm here to sing songs about the moon and stars and angels and happiness in a mystic land.
Good to see you, Tom.
Hey, I think that the smallest part in entertainment would be Psycho Mike's wiener in Red, White, and Huge.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Good call. And finally... Well, there's two parts to this one. I'd like to first read an email. Dear Kevin and Bean, what is the joke behind the sound file that has a deep man's voice saying Anna?
Anna?
Yeah, they don't understand why we keep playing that. It was when Anna Nicole Smith passed away in Florida, and we sent our producer Lightning in to make the K-Rock microphones were there, and this is what he came up with.
Hi, I'm Anna Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the World...
Anna?
And we don't know who that is an impression of. We don't know why he had to change his voice. Is that supposed to be a hotel? Is it supposed to be Howard K. Stern? We don't know, but it just kills us every time we hear him say that for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why. And so that's combined with yesterday we played for you and talked to the gayest human being alive who made the gayest video alive, Samwell with What in the Butt.
What in the butt? What in the butt? Okay.
What in the butt? What in the butt? Anna?
See, it works.
It always works everywhere.
For some reason, it's always funny.
We're very concerned about America's pop princess, Britney Spears. You know, she's been in and out of rehab a couple of times. Some people say she's got the postpartum depression. She's shaved her head, of course. She's getting all these tattoos, piercings, we hear. And now it's even getting crazy. And I don't know if it's because there's a lack of official news coming out and people just need to fill space and make stuff up. But, Kevin... What's the Daily Telegraph in Britain saying?
Well, they were saying that when she got to Promises Rehab, she wrote 666 on her forehead and started screaming at scared helpers there that she was the Antichrist, and then tried to hang herself with some sheets, and they broke in and saved her. And then it goes on to say that they're talking, she and Kevin Federline are talking about getting back together and having another baby.
No.
That's what it says.
That cannot happen.
So we thought it would be a good time maybe to get a hold of Brittany. Apparently there is a payphone. It promises rehab. Lightning has tracked her down. Brittany, okay. Good morning.
Hey, y'all. Morning.
How's rehab treating you? Brittany, how you feeling, sweetheart?
Rehab sucks, y'all.
Yeah?
I keep trying to book a spa treatment, and there's no masseuse. I asked for my Pilates trainer, and they're like, she can't come in. There's not even, like, a Rebel fridge, y'all. It's
really?
Farted.
Wow.
Brittany, here's the thing I guess most people ask is that, can you drink in rehab? Is that something they allow you to do or no?
Not, like, technically and stuff and some junk, but I'm trying to order stuff online, but, like, they check the boxes that come in.
I saw that's the latest report is that she's an online shopping fool from rehab. She's ordering stuff all over the place.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to do my retail therapy, but they keep going, no, Britt, that's not what we mean. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's rehab.
Brittany, Why did you bottom out? What was the final straw for you? Was it just, hey, I'm 25, but I'm divorced and I have two small kids? It was just too much? Was it the career pressure? Was it the paparazzi? Was it, what happened to finally hurt you so much?
Bottom out? Y'all, I'm having fun. I'm shaving my head. I'm going all punk rock. I'm giving my kids to my mom. I'm shopping Better Line. Y'all, it's awesome.
So you think, if I'm hearing you correctly, Brittany, you think things have never gone better for you than they are right now?
The time of my life.
So life is good. Okay, well, we weren't expecting that, but all right.
No, all right.
We want to check something. We want to run it by you because the report is that you're thinking of getting back together with Kevin Federline.
Yeah, y'all, he's my boo. We're like Eminem, you know, and Kim, you know, we're just like in it.
Yeah.
Right, but isn't there a reason you divorced him? Because he was spending all your money and partying and drinking all the time
never home
to help with the kids? Yeah, I mean, I thought those were all legitimate reasons to leave the man.
Y'all, we weren't communicating. And then I was watching Dr. Phil when I was sitting in the little padded room here.
Right.
And I realized I need to talk to him and stuff. I can't just two-way and text him. I need to, like, see him in person.
We can help with that.
I need to, like, LOL with him.
Okay, all right. We can help with that a little bit today. We do have K-Fed on the line.
Baby!
Kevin?
I'm sorry, we were looking for Kevin Federline.
Who's this?
Kevin and B.
Kevin and B.
Oh, what's up, dog? Hey, what's happening, you know?
What is you?
What are you doing, Kevin?
I'm just in prayers, you know what I'm saying?
What?
Yeah, in prayers? Yeah.
I've been chanting up in his ear, you know what I'm saying?
But why?
You're not a prayer kind of guy.
Yeah, when your ex-wife is carving 666 in her dome piece, you got to play it safe. You know what I'm saying? That's all. You know what I'm saying? I got to get this girl back. And if there's a chance I'm going to be hammering downstairs at that pagan poontang, you know what I'm saying? I want to make sure I got all my bases covered.
I see. So it's like protection.
It's right, dawg.
Well, Kevin Federline doesn't know anything about protection. That's obvious, by the way.
I already done dunked my private parts in holy water. I traded in my gold chain for some good garlic. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting ready because I'm going to get this girl back.
She's not a vampire.
You know what I'm saying. I don't know. What I'm just going for whatever I know.
Covering all your bases.
Just,
okay.
Like I said, I just got to be safe.
I got you.
And the garlic keeps me smelling kind of fly. I'm like walking kimchi.
When you heard that she had, according to Daily Telegraph, carved the number 666 in her shaved head and then started running around the rehab saying, I am the Antichrist, you said, yes, that's the woman I want to get back with.
Look. Well, she was just a pudgy cellulite having ex-mouseketeer.
Right.
I was like, you know, dog, this ain't the girl for me. I need a thug bitch in my life. You know?
Oh.
And now I see she's done shaved the head. She's carved out of wood looking buff, like a Marine with mascara on.
I see.
Got the 666 up in her dome piece. That's thug life right there.
So
that's
now, you want her back because of this behavior.
Yeah,
she's
dirty.
I'm
like, this is the type of girl that I need. You know what? Maybe we were made for each other like we originally thought. I need a thug bitch in my life. That's why I got thug life tattooed on my chest. You know.
How about that?
Actually, that was Tupac, Kevin. But listen, Brittany's on the line if you want to say hello to your ex-wife right now.
Hey, baby boo.
What's up, baby?
I miss you so much.
I miss you, too.
I love you so much,
Sorry
baby.
For all the things I said, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, whatever.
I need to get you back, you know what I'm saying? I shaved my head so we could be together. I shaved off my cornrows.
I love you, baby. It's now like we match like
solidarity,
like
solidarity through hair.
But wait a minute. If I could just bring up a point. Brittany, if you do have 666 on your forehead, I think, you know, K-Fed should probably take that next step.
I'm down.
Baby, would you get inked for me?
Yeah, well, I got my area code tattooed on my back. Does that count?
No.
Fresnillo.
559-559. Whoop whoop.
But it's not the same as 666. You know that.
Design. Whatever.
Okay.
You know, I gotta represent my hood.
All right.
It sounds like you two maybe are made for each other. It sounds like you guys could be perfect for each other. I just wish somebody, and I don't care who, would come take the children away from you. I would feel better about this whole thing if we just get those kids out of the picture.
We'll just keep having them.
Yeah. What? What's the deal with you two talking about having another kid? That's just talk, right? That's not really happening.
No, well, man.
Didn't we like lose one?
I think so.
What?
No,
I don't think. No, you didn't lose.
What are you talking about?
Are you sure?
No,
I thought we did.
You didn't lose one.
No, you've got,
that was a
number
joke.
Two. Number did. Two was staying with your mom.
Right, but number one, you had. But then I thought you.
I left Crunk Juice with Shar Jackson, and then Baseline.
All right, never mind.
With your stepdad.
Maybe,
but my dad. I think my dad took
look
up to Fresno.
Okay. Here's what we're suggesting.
He took Tupac Jr.
Maybe we're not. Maybe a new kid is not going to help the situation.
Correct.
That's all we're suggesting.
Listen, I'm gonna keep pumping them out because if there's one thing that I've learned through my life, you know what I'm saying, and my experiences, if you're having trouble in a relationship, mm-hmm. nothing solves it better than having children.
Sure.
Well, that is good
advice.
I think
that's like step number 9 they're trying to teach me.
I don't think that's one of the 12 steps, Brittany.
Give up your higher power, make children.
I don't think that's one of the 12 steps.
Word.
We have Brittany on the line from the rehab center and Kevin at home, and where are the kids right now, Kevin? Do you know? No idea. Okay.
I can't
All right.
answer that conclusively.
Have you still been? I know you spent the weekend in Las Vegas. I saw you at the nightclub until 3 o'clock in the morning. Are you still having a chance to work on your music at all? Are you taking advantage of this time right now to be creative?
I can't help but make music, dog. I can't help but make music. It's what I do.
I have a CD here. Is this
you know what I'm saying?
Is this a new song?
You don't
song?
Tell the Pussycat Dolls not to dance and sing. You
That's
don't tell
true.
Kevin Federline not to rap. You
okay.
know what I'm saying? That's what
all
I do.
All right. That's what this new CD, what is it? What's the song?
It's an ode to my girl, Brittany. I want you back, you know what I'm saying? So play this song and maybe you'll realize why. Hit it, Steve.
They say crazy girls are the best in bed. Imagine a bitch with shit carved in her head. Nasty.
I'll bang your fat ass right out of that straitjacket. Open up TMZ, what do I see? A buffed out Marine looking just like Britney. Shaved head, tattoos looking hard. Waving an umbrella as she mobs down the boulevard. Thug life on a whole new level. Carving numbers in her head and worshiping the devil. I really need you back, but money ain't a thing. It's your newly shaved head and your goatskin G-string. Crazy bitch, you really got me going. Wanna baptize your face, got my holy waters flowing.
Okay.
Got me a garlic condom just in case. You wanna get religious, I can put you in your place.
They say crazy girls are the best in bed. Imagine a bitch who carves shit in her head.
Wow.
Steve.
Ooh, ooh.
The people love it. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh.
I see that as step one toward you two kids getting back together.
You know.
Ralph Garmer's here with the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Hey, well, you just talked to Britney Spears. You asked her how she was doing in rehab.
Yeah.
Her family's saying that she's struggling to cope with coming to life sober. And her family's worried she's going to drop out of treatment again.
Uh-oh.
According to people close to the family.
She told us she was having the time of her life. It was golden in there.
Her cousin Allie was on hand to offer support over the weekend. Stayed overnight at the facility on Friday. Trying to encourage her to stick around. But rumors are coming out of the family's camp that they're concerned she's not going to last the month.
Boy.
Is that how long she's supposed to stay, is a month?
They're hoping she would put in a 30-day treatment, yeah, but who knows? Who knows that crazy bitch, man? Her just carving stuff in her head.
I'm not sure if that's true.
Nuts. Courtney Cox and David Arquette are hitting back at recent tabloid reports that their 7-year marriage is in trouble. Apparently, rumors have that they've been spending a lot of time apart, but a representative for the pair tells Us Weekly magazine there's not a shred of truth to the rumors about the state of their marriage. They are happily married, and like most married couples, they have some separate friendships and interests. She went to say, sure, they bang other people and don't live together anymore. Marriage is rock solid. Sure, once in a while they'll pick up a heavy object and throw it at the other, but who doesn't in any relationship?
They have been outspoken in the past about and not being afraid to admit that they have gone to counseling a lot throughout their marriage. They say that it keeps them on the right track, say it's important for them.
Yeah. They should worry more about dirt and less about their relationship.
Yes.
There's a situation with some trouble in it. They need to attend to.
I haven't seen that. Is that not good?
Watch fast if you want to see it.
I haven't seen it.
Rumor has it it's right on the bubble. And they're going to wait to see how the ratings are for the Courtney Cox, Jennifer Aniston lesbian kiss episode before they actually pull it off the air. So
that's worth hanging around
for.
At
least get to see that. Yeah. Supermodel Naomi Campbell is starting her community service. She was hit with a sentence of 5 days community service for assaulting her maid in March of 26.
Oh, those blacks.
March of 2006. Apparently, part of her punishment is to mop the floors at a sanitation department warehouse in the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fantastic.
She's going to be mopping dirty floors.
Love it.
That's great.
I love that.
Where's some footage?
You sense that they had 1,000 different jobs they could assign and really looked for the worst one to give to Naomi Campbell because she's earned it.
Do we have anything in the rat-catching department? No? All right. Let her mop floors then.
Can we ever scrape chewing gum off the bottom of the seats at Yankee Stadium? Is there anything worse we can find?
Speaking of footage, Anna Nicole Smith's ex-boyfriend, who's currently in jail, fears that a sex tape of him and Anna having sex may be missing.
Is this fat Anna or hot Anna?
I don't know.
That makes a big difference.
Mark Hatton is the guy's name. He's in jail because he was making terrorist threats against Anna Nicole Smith after they stopped dating and for beating up her neighbor.
Jeez.
He said the sex tape does exist, and he's concerned that items have recently been removed from her home in the Bahamas, and this may be one of them. He wrote a letter to Virgie Arthur, who is Anna Nicole's estranged mom, and said, first he urged her to find and destroy the tape, explaining that the video was hardcore. Soon until Howard K. Stern sells this for $5 million to...
If he has it, he'll sell it.
People Magazine.
Yep, he sure will. About that.
So we may not have seen the end of the Anna Nicole Smith story yet.
I fully expect Howard K. Stern is going to have a garage sale and he's going to sell her sheets and her silverware and anything else that he can somehow attach to her name and make money off of.
Locks of her hair.
Sell this piece of tape.
Anna.
Zach Braff may become one of the highest paid actors on television. The star of Scrubs has a new deal in place. If his show gets renewed for a 7th season, he will start earning $350,000 per episode.
He's great on that show.
He is brilliant. That whole show is brilliant. Did you see the clip show they did last week? Where they're trying to teach there's a patient comes in with a memory loss, and they start thinking about their own memory, so basically it's just an excuse for them to go back. And
I didn't see that.
Lipped moments from other episodes. It is wall-to-wall laugh-out-loud funny. Just the greatest hits of that show over the past couple of years.
Show rules.
And it's so great because they're so self-effacing and aware enough to say, I have these memories as if it was a bad sitcom episode whose writers were too lazy to come up with a new storyline and start thinking about other moments in the show.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it was pretty great.
I'm surprised to hear that kind of cash thrown around because it is not a big ratings hit, The Scrubs. It should be, but it's not doing what it ought to. You know, usually you make that kind of money because you're Raymond or somebody and everybody's watching your show.
It's doing much better now that it's on the Thursday night lineup. NBC's comedies on Thursday nights are doing real well.
But it might not. Did you say that it has to be renewed?
Yes.
So it might not be, so he may not make that money?
We're still waiting to see whether they will renew it for the 2007-08 season. So
I hope they do. That's a great show.
That'll put him right up alongside Charlie Sheen, who's making about $350,000 per episode as well. So, but that show would not exist without Zach Braff.
I think so, too.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, you need him.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah. And speaking of money and pay raises, everyone over at Grey's Anatomy now is fighting for a pay increase.
Uh-oh.
Except for one actor. Apparently, Isaiah Washington's recent troubles have left him out of the contract renegotiation process.
He called him and say, I'm good. Everything's all right.
Actually,
whatever you think.
Actually, ABC said, you know what? We're not going to talk to you so much. And apparently he didn't put up too much of a fight.
Awesome.
Considering he's desperate to keep his job after calling one of his coworkers the F word. Not that F word, but the other F word.
The gay one.
The G's.
The other F word that's apparently worse.
The F word that has two G's and a T.
Yeah.
And an A.
Right.
The F-A-G-G.
Right. I think we
and a T at the end.
No, we've heard the story.
If you don't have the O, just leave the O out.
Right. Plus, he outed him, too. It wasn't just that he called him that. He actually outed
him. Yeah. How long are you two going to ignore the will of the people? That's what I want to know.
It depends on what the will of the people is.
Ralph, I had a chance to see Wicked this past Friday.
Long time. Hell of a long time.
I thought I would enjoy it, but certainly not to the extent that I did. And you're right. Megan Hilty, it was absolutely adorable. She's so funny that the other characters actually broke and laughed at her silliness.
Everyone's time might be better spent watching a truly entertaining and funny musical instead of saying, oh, watching effing Star Wars 30 times. That's from Rob.
Come on, Ralph. Oh, God. Ralph. No. No, just
from Kevin in Huntington Beach.
Ralph. Ralph.
Ralph.
No.
The boys are wrong.
Ralph, no. No,
I went to see Wicked on February 28th.
No.
Megan Hilty was the highlight of the evening.
Hot. I'm going to tell you like this. If you don't shut your ass up, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
Hot, great voice, and charming. Whatever it is, she has it. Isn't there some bogus vacation for Kevin and Bean coming up? Get lightning on this, Kevin of Huntington Beach. So.
Motherfucker, what makes you think I care? Shut the up.
Do what we can. I'll fight the good fight here, people. But I don't know, you know.
Sounds like a great interview for your podcast.
I don't have a podcast, Bean.
I can't believe you don't shut up.
It's play talk. Lisa talks about plays.
It's hot chick talk. It's hot chick talk.
Yeah, but you have to get in your car and drive down. There are plenty of hot chicks that you can find on your computer, in a magazine, on TV, in movies. You don't have to drive all the way down to see a play.
Not one that sings like an angel.
Get her on TV, Ralph.
Yes.
Get her on TV.
Yes.
Get her on TV.
Start a show
for
her.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Start a program.
No, what does Bean mean?
I don't know.
I know you're trying to bail him out, but...
No, what I'm saying is get her a television show, and then we can all see her. We can all enjoy her.
Then
we're
we'll
not driving down to see Wicked. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Happy celebrity birthday to Bryan Cranston. He is the dad on Malcolm in the Middle. He's 51 years old today. And, you know, to bring it all full circle, Bryan Cranston played Buzz Aldrin in the HBO miniseries From the Earth to the Moon.
Ah. Is that right?
Yeah. And Bean was just talking about Buzz Aldrin earlier.
How about that?
See, Megan Hilty, talented, fascinating.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Pretty. Bean considers that a waste of time on the radio. But Buzz Aldrin? That's something worth talking about.
Shut the fuck up!
More Buzz Aldrin. More 80-year-old astronaut stories.
I sat next to Buzz Aldrin on a plane yesterday, and it was one of the thrills of my life because he's a childhood hero of mine.
Get Buzz Aldrin on television.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
You know what I didn't ask him is if he was wearing the astronaut diapers.
Rachel Weisz from The Constant Gardener and The Mummy movie, she's 36 years old today. And Lauren Prepon, who played Donna on That 70s Show, she's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin and I have often said one of our very, very, very favorite things about doing this job is the chance to have live music in the morning. We love that. Yesterday we had Korn. This Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we got the band Rise Against. And right now in our studio, ladies and gentlemen, Sick Puppies joining us here on the World Famous Garage.
How you doing?
Hello.
Hey, man.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
Welcome. You know, I didn't realize until we chatted with you briefly before you went on that you're not like fresh off the boat. You guys have been living out here in Southern California for quite a while since you moved from Australia, right?
Yeah, we moved over here about a year and a half ago. I mean, we came here and did like some meet and greets and stuff, but we actually got legal visas and everything.
You did. Can I see
some
paperwork?
Yeah, I'm actually lying. Sorry.
Okay. We don't want to be called into a hearing where they say, did you know they were illegal?
And we started making the record once we got it all together, and we've been over here, about a year and a half doing the full thing.
Give us your history. You're from Australia.
Yeah, we're from Australia. Emma and I met in high school, just in the music rooms. What was that?
That was a bell.
Nothing. It was nothing.
It's a bell that rings for hot chicks is what it is.
Okay, it was a compliment, Emma. That's what that was.
Oh, really?
That was a hey, how are you?
And I was playing drums back then, and I was playing guitar, and we sort of knew all the same songs and found a chemistry and started a band, and we've been the same band ever since.
Is it true that you used to do covers?
Yeah, we used to do
Rage Against the Machine covers.
Yeah, Rage Against Green Day.
We're going to have to ask you for one of those.
Stuff. Oh, man. We used to do it. I think we tried to do a Korn cover once.
Nope, we need Rage.
But it was really
easy. When we in the next room.
That's all right. I'd have to sing then.
Hey, guys, let me ask you this, because I'm fascinated with this. I mean, people have never been to Australia, and by the way, I'm one of them, may not realize that it's as big a country as the United States. I mean, it's a world unto itself. You don't have to leave Australia to be enormously successful. Why do so many bands leave Australia and end up coming over here or going to Europe?
Well, I think you wind up creating a better product over here. There's more studios. There's more people that have been doing it for longer with more experience.
Producers and stuff.
It's pretty much the hotbed of what's happening now, whereas in Australia, there's a lot. It's far more diverse. Whereas
there's
if
only
you
20 million people in the whole country.
There's 20 million
right?
people in the whole country, and here there's, what, 250
right.
million.
Yeah.
And so
300
plus the market is so much bigger, and you can just there's just so much more to do. Basically, if you want to really crack the big time, you come over here. So that's what.
So if you're going to sell records, you go to where the people are.
Yeah,
that takes out Australia.
Yeah, you got to take your stuff to where it's going to be bought and where it's going to.
There
be
have been for how small the population is. There have been so many great bands and artists out of Australia over the years. I mean, dozens and dozens of them. It's just a music friendly crowd. Is it easier to make it there because
no,
people
it's
are
not.
Acceptable?
It's the funny thing is that I don't know where that idea might have come from, because the fact is there's actually this thing called a tall poppy syndrome, where if you make anything out of yourself, you get successful, the first thing anyone wants to do is cut you down.
Oh, sure.
But it's dramatic over there to the point where, like, they'll just stop buying your records as soon as you become successful. Like, you give me this underground band and they'll just, like...
go crazy.
Yeah, they just... and they'll... but after you get, you know, a good hit single, or if you make it over... if you make it over in the States, you usually... it's a good amount of credibility to go back home with.
Oh,
that.
It is.
So we're kind of lucky because we've...
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Wow!
So, you're in Australia.
Yeah.
And as long as you're...
it's messed up.
As long as you're underground, they love you.
Yeah.
Then, if you sell a lot of CDs or make it big in Australia, they turn their backs on you.
They can.
If you come to America and make it, then they accept you again.
Then they're happy with it.
You get played
a lot more.
Those people are effed up.
That is effed up.
Well, you can say F. Okay,
yes,
cool.
We can say F. We just can't say the whole word.
Just F. Right, exactly. So, you... how long have you been together as a group?
Well, Emma and I have been doing it now for 7 years.
Seven years.
And how many songs would you guys reckon of your own that you know? How many songs do you guys have?
Oh, geez. 100? A couple hundred?
100? Oh, my God.
A couple hundred.
Well, wait a minute. There's a big difference between 100 and a couple hundred.
Well, we've written a lot in the time that we've been together. We've probably written...
how many of them suck, though? Really?
Oh, probably about 199.
Okay. There's 12 on the record.
We've got one single that we're playing. And that's
12 on the record. I was reading the article, I think it was an MTV article, about you guys trying to find a record deal.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been trying to get a deal for ages, man.
Went to everybody and they said, pretty good,
like it, but we ain't going to give you
quite.
No money.
Okay, so we'd like to have you play again. How about that? And then you play again and they say, like it.
That would be nice.
But no.
But basically, yeah, we went and did one round and they said, nice. Well, they paid for us to go to New York. We went and did Sony and everything, got the whole nine yards. And then they didn't really sign. And then we did we had a video clip, which was this Free Hugs video.
Right.
That then became really popular on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a whole bunch more showcases and still no one picked
everyone. Still nothing.
Then, thankfully, your beautiful radio station started spinning our track. And then people started to come back again. So the third time around, and even then, it still took some... we had to do a couple of showcases, go and do the...
are there any names of people you'd like to mention that said no?
No, we finally signed a Virgin and we just went to meet them in New York and it was an awesome, like a really awesome team. Everyone is really...
that's great.
Cool.
That's amazing. How wonderful is it that you have the possibility of getting your music out to millions of people for free with something like YouTube? Our friends in OK Go, for instance, I mean, that does, you know, as much made their career as their music did. It's such a wonderful promotional tool, isn't it?
Well, the beautiful thing is now that that's the capability for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, we tried every single marketing campaign that you could think of from old to new, and the thing that actually pushed us through the door was something that was completely homemade and didn't cost a cent.
Tell us about the video, the Free Hugs campaign. Tell us about that guy and how you got into it.
Well, that guy's actually an old friend of mine from when we were in Australia saving up money to come to the States for the first time. I used to hold... you know, you ever seen those guys that hold up these lollipop signs? Like the two, like the shoes and the Verizon or whatever it
sure,
is?
Sure, yeah.
I used to be one of those dudes. I used to hold up them saving up money. And so I met this guy in a pedestrian mall and he was holding this Free Hug sign. His name was Juan. So we started hanging out and talking and I started filming him with my video camera.
So he's just holding up a sign that says Free Hugs and then people come up and hug you.
Yeah. It was cool.
That's the whole thing.
That's the whole vibe, man. It's really simple. It took about 2 weeks for people to sort of warm to it, and then he became this little sort of homemade institution.
Everybody kind
of
liked him.
Yeah. And then I filmed him, went over to LA to make the record, and we'd talk about once every couple of weeks. And then about 6 months ago, he called me, and his grandmother had passed away. So he's kind of down in the dumps, and I wasn't able to help him out in any way. So I made the video as like a get well card to send off to him, and then we put it up on YouTube afterwards because a few other
people liked
it.
And that's the video they got you noticed.
And that's the one.
Wow.
So that had all the same under it.
Yeah. It's a cool video, too. I mean, it really is a cool vibe. And then the guy, was he on Oprah? Is that what I heard?
He was on... him and I went to Oprah. We got a call in the first week, man, to go, like... it got a million hits, and then one of the producers of Oprah called and said, do you want to come on the show? And we're like, yeah, that'd be fun.
Wow.
So we just flew over and spent a few minutes talking about the whole thing, and that was it.
Shem, let me ask you this, and this is Sick Puppies, the band we're talking to. They're going to be playing live here in a few minutes on the world-famous K-Rock. You shot video for a couple of weeks, and then you edited it down to match with your song, but there had to be people who like wanted to beat the guy up, right? He's standing there with his Free Hug sign. I mean, it's warm and fuzzy the way it's edited, but what kind of reaction did he get from most people?
The funny thing is, most people would either just, like at the beginning of the video, there's a lot of people who just keep walking. And
just ignore him.
People just keep walking. No one was ever very malicious because you can't. He's got long hair. He looks like Jesus.
Right.
He's got a jacket. You know, he's not, most people just say, oh, forget it. But majority of people actually wound up, you know, warming to the whole point of it.
You can go to YouTube and find it, Sick Puppies. The song is called All the Same, right?
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Right, that's right. Yeah.
What about the other two? What about Mark and Emma? Did you guys think he was crazy for using this video, for saying, yeah, let's put that up as our first video?
I don't know what you think. Well, Shim made the video, and he showed me and Emma and the band, and, you know, and everyone else, and everyone around us just
they thought it was cool?
Thought it was just...
Did either of you say, hey, it's not really a music video?
It wasn't really meant to be a music video, yeah, like, at the beginning, because it was just sort of like a get-well card, and we sort of thought, oh, yeah, it's really nice and stuff, yeah. But we never sort of had any idea that it had...
It was supposed to be a video.
It wasn't even supposed to.
No, it wasn't supposed to be anything to market the band, and it turned out to be the greatest thing.
But at the time, YouTube was, you know, obviously... I mean, obviously it's huge now, and it was huge at the time, but at the time it was kind of, you know...
Still going.
Yeah. And it was just
still kind of growing
with the whole.
That's bizarre. You guys put your heads together and you said, we have to figure out a way to get through to people. Mm. Meanwhile, you're making this video. You don't care.
I know. It's so funny.
It's in your background. Whatever. I don't care. Well, let's think about something, guys. And then that's the one.
That's a great story. I have to ask you guys, and I'm sure all bands are sick of this question first, but the band name makes me sad. I almost didn't want to hear the record when I heard the band was called, because there's nothing sadder than a sick puppy. I'm sorry. That's as sad as it gets. I mean, next to the tears of a clown, maybe the sick puppy is the saddest. What's the deal there? I hope there's not a tragic story that goes along with the name.
It's funny. That name, we were starting off the band, and one of the most important things that we thought was going to happen was the name of the band. Like, that was what was going to break us, not 7 years of hard work.
Right.
So we tried to, it was just another name on the list, and I thought of it on a train one day and added it to the list, and then I went up to see my dad about a week later, and he said, oh, what about Sick Puppies for your band? Just reading a book called Sick Puppy. And it was the only thing that was an omen or a sign, so we chose that, and we've been with it ever since.
What are some of the other ones that you turned down?
We had Smegma.
Oh, that's good.
Oh.
How do you turn down that in favor of Sick Puppies?
Gee, I know.
We had Sweet Children. No, what was it?
Sweet Mercury.
Sweet Mercury, because Sweet Children was Green Day's first one.
Sure.
A bunch of
Do you
really
mind
lame
if we
ones.
Call you Smegma from now on?
You can call me Wendy as long as you play the song.
Hey, speaking of the song, Dressed Up as Life is going to be the name of the CD that's going to be coming out on Tuesday, April the 3rd, and of course available for download that same day. You've been hearing All the Same here in K-Rock, and you guys are playing, and this has got to be, I mean, especially since you've been here a year and a half now, I mean, you're playing the Troubadour tonight. It's pretty cool, right?
That's going to be a big show. I'm really looking forward to that. We've played a bunch of shows around, and to be able to, we've been over in Australia for 3 months doing a massive festival, and to be able to come home and play to the guys that sort of helped us get there is going to be really cool.
Very cool.
You can go to a Ticketmaster or the Troubadour to see what kind of tickets may be left. There may be a few left for tonight for Sick Puppies at Troubadour. So you're set up in the other room. We can talk you into going in and maybe doing a number
Let's
two for us.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah. That'd be fun. We'll do that.
Thank you so much for having us, man.
Of course. Live music, Sick Puppies coming up. We got Sick Puppies in the performing studio here. The CD is Dressed Up as Life. It comes out Tuesday, April 3rd. It's about a month from now. You guys are going to play which song here?
All the Same.
Here you go. Sick Puppies on camera.
As you come to me, but I don't like illusions. I can't see them clearly. I don't care. No, I wouldn't dare to fix the twist in you. You've shown me eventually what you will do.
The instantaneous applause.
Wild. How about that? That is live acoustic music from Thick Puppies here on the world famous Q-Rock. You can get the EP on iTunes right now. They're playing the Troubadour tonight. Kevin, do we have time for another song? I'd love to hear something else.
Yes, we do. All right, let's play. But first, we need a little Rage. These guys were a cover band. They did Rage songs. I got to hear a little bit.
This is a song off the record that's going to be dropped on April 3rd. This is called What Are You Looking For?
I walk the line of the disappointed. I celebrate when I'm in pain. My heart and mind can be disjointed. I built a bed in this hole I've made. And I recognize that I am damaged. I sympathize that you are too. But I wanna breathe without feeling so self-conscious. But it's hard when the world's staring at you. Another piece of the puzzle that doesn't fit. You throw your arms up, you're so damn sick of it. What are you hurting for? What are you searching for? Love. You won't be thinking of cause when you're on your deathbed. It's all you. You'll only be thinking of what you are paying for. What you are praying. Of the get richer, you keep your pace, but it's moving slow. You are defined by all that you abhor, but you're surprised it doesn't fill up the hole. Another piece of the puzzle that doesn't fit. You throw your arms up, your soul.
Puppies on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Nicely done. That sounded great.
Good stuff. Yeah, this time of morning, man. Very impressive. That's
Mark on drums. You got drums. You got Emma, or as you call her, Emmer.
Emma.
The female Flea, I've heard she's been called. Yeah. I like that. She's a lot hotter than Flea, but she plays a mean guitar. And Shimon, is that your name?
Shimon.
Shimon.
Wendy, whatever.
As a lead singer who began his career as a sign holder. I think that's probably the first band that could say that.
Yep.
You know, we have tickets for tonight. We have, I didn't realize this, but we had 10 pair of tickets for the Troubadour tonight.
Okay.
So we can give those away at 1-800-520-1067. If you can go tonight. Don't call if you can't go tonight.
Guys, we're very happy for you. Congratulations on all the success so far. Look forward to the record next month, and I hope we get a chance to see you again soon.
Thank you very much,
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. We get our news from a different source than most people. We get our news from the Weekly World News, because they seem to have it right most often.
Well, they're the only ones who are willing to break the big stories. I mean, you know, the New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post, those newspapers are too afraid of the truth. Weekly World News will publish anything.
Hidden in the Nevada wastelands, a medical research lab has been conducting experiments into muscular regeneration on a cellular level. What they're doing is they're taking mice and they're trying to take deposits of fat and they're trying to have that transform into muscle.
So well, that would be fabulous.
Yes, exactly. So they were doing some tests on a mouse, and it says, finally, a white mouse reacted positively to the serum, but in a most unusual manner. Instead of transforming fat to muscle, the mouse, nicknamed Jerry, turned muscle into fat. And within weeks of his first injection, the mouse weighed over 300 pounds.
A mouse?
That's a pretty fat mouse.
That's a fat mouse. That's like the one that they found at that restaurant in New York big.
That's Taco Bell mouse big.
300 pounds. And according to the picture of the Weekly World News, tiny little feet, still tiny. Big well, fat mouse.
Oh, my. It
says in the article he can't even walk. He's so fat. And that's where I'm going to end up one day. But let's find out what's going on with Jerry the mouse. I believe producer Lightning was able to line him up on the phone with us right now. By the way, it didn't say in the article that Jerry can also talk, but I think that's true. Hey, Jer.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Well, we're good.
I'm glad to hear that.
We're a little disturbed by the story that we see in the Weekly World News. The headline is World's Fattest Mouse on Rampage.
Well, it's not so much of a rampage as it is a leisurely stroll.
You don't sound much like a guy on a rampage, but Jerry, I have to ask, are you not in the laboratory? What's all that noise behind you?
No, I escaped from the laboratory. No, I'm in Vegas.
You're in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
I saw
the lab was in Nevada.
I saw the lab was in Nevada. I saw that they were trying to move you on the roof of a van.
Yeah.
It collapsed. Somehow you landed in the driver's seat. Your foot pressed the gas, and all hell broke loose.
Uh-huh. Road trip.
How did you end up at a casino?
I was looking for a buffet.
Sure.
Well, of course, yeah.
And ended up here at the Western Ho.
The Western Ho?
Yeah. They threw me out of the wind.
They did, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I ate through the Orleans and then the Station Palace.
Okay, all right.
Now, and hey, you're out of shrimp! You are out of shrimp!
Dude.
What do you have to do to get some shrimp around here?
How much have you eaten today, Jerry?
Hold on a second.
All right.
And where are those cheese cubes? I asked for them 10 minutes ago.
Wow, an angry, belligerent world's fattest mouse. Who knew?
What?
Jerry, it doesn't seem like it would be drawing a good lot in life to be a laboratory experimental animal, but in retrospect, it could have been a lot worse for you. I mean, it sounds like you're living it up.
It's a living.
Yeah.
Guy's got to do what he's got to do to make ends meet.
Do you have
of course, my ends don't meet anymore.
No, I can see that.
Because I'm 300 pounds.
Right, it's a lot for a little mouse.
I am not a small mouse.
Right, you're rather large.
I am fluffy.
Yes. Now, do you have a room, or are you just going from buffet to buffet?
Oh, I've got a room.
You do, okay.
I've got a suite.
You have a suite?
I've got the Western Ho Presidential Suite.
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
Which is, it's about the size of a large closet.
How are you paying for that?
I'm cheese, mostly cheese.
Yeah.
That's your mouse.
That's mouse currency.
That's all.
Because we're talking to a goddamn mouse.
Are you still over 300 pounds? Are you the same weight as the picture in the Weekly World News?
No, I've dropped a few.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I'm down to about 280.
280.
Well, congratulations.
It helps me get in and out of the rascal to get around the casino floor.
Sure.
I'm driving around in a Rascal.
I don't know. I'm not sure what that is, Jerry.
You don't know what the Rascal
is. I don't know what the Rascal is.
I don't know what it is.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Jerry.
Filling us in
on what the Rascal is?
Everyone in the world has seen the Little Rascal commercials for old people. They need little scooters.
Oh, sure. I didn't know that was called a Rascal.
Yeah.
Sorry, we didn't.
Don't worry, I'll give you cue cards next time.
What was the name of the actual?
No, I'll draw you pictures before we start the comedy next time.
Wait, the mouse is smarter than the hosts?
Oh, any animal smarter than the hosts.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.
I'm not listening. I'm
boycotting. Why didn't you ask who's the producer of Who Wants to Be a Pussycat Doll? Why don't you ask that question?
Don't even bring this up. Don't even bring it up.
You want to ask something so you can have information then to throw it back in my face and say, oh, he produced that show.
No.
So you sound smart.
This is why I don't have conversations with people, because they're not worth the time.
No, the problem is you keep having conversations with people. That's the problem. You say you don't have conversations with people, but you're constantly having conversations with people about crap that people don't care about.
Mohinder?
The reason why you shouldn't have conversations with people, but that doesn't stop you. Unless you're Buzz Aldrin.
By the way, what's going through Ralph right now goes through all of us about three times a week with Bean. He uses up his welcome on all of us at some point.
I'm not going to say anymore. I'm just going to sit back and listen to the hilarious Showbiz Beat.
Time for the Showbiz Beat.
You want tickets to go see the cast and creators of Nip Tuck, one of the best goddamn shows on television.
I love
it. All except for that Rosie thing.
Yeah, except for that one moment of weakness they had. They've been strong for season after season after season. It gets weirder and wilder and kinkier, and I just find it fascinating television for grown-ups. If you're a fan like I am of the show over there on FX, tomorrow night is your night. The Museum of Television Radio is having part of their TV Museum Festival. They're having an evening with Nip Tuck. The cast and creators will be there, and if you'd like to go, here's a little trivia question. I want to give this to somebody who actually watches the show. So if you're one of the first two callers with the correct answer to this trivia question at 1-800-520-1067, you're going to get a pair of tickets. Here it is. This episode of Nip Tuck was...
Was
the highest rated in its history and the highest rated show on FX ever. It pulled in 5.3 million viewers.
Wow.
It was the episode where they revealed the identity of the Carver.
Oh.
The serial killer who was going around slashing people's faces on the show is a great storyline.
It was Mr. Bennett, right?
All I need to know is, who was the Carver? Tell me who was the Carver. 1-800-520-1067, and you'll get a pair of tickets to spend the evening with the Nip Tuck clan.
Hey, Ralph, a couple minutes ago, we talked to the world's fattest mouse.
No.
It was really crazy.
The heck you did. I heard that mouse has to get around one of those little rascals.
That's what I've heard as well.
Yeah. I've heard of the Little Rascal. Picked up on that immediately. Antonella Barba. Tonight, we're going to see her on American Idol. Well, some of us will. Kevin won't because he doesn't watch. But TMZ.com is reporting that the rest of the chicks on that show are pissed off at her.
Boobs.
Downright chilly is the atmosphere around Antonella. Ticked off. The rest of the women are because she's getting all this attention. Really, just because she took her shirt off and someone took a picture of her.
Yeah.
But she's all over the internet and the stories are all about her, and they think they're being overshadowed by the questionable past of Ms. Barber.
I suggested not watching the show, that other contestants can do the same, and that's a bad suggestion. I haven't seen the contestants. There's no one else that could do that that would...
Oh, no. She's the only one we want to see in any state of disrobe.
All right.
Trust me. Meanwhile, yesterday, the protest with Frenchie Davis took over as scheduled in front of the Kodak Theater. Frenchie, you may or may not remember, in season 4, was booted off the show because she had done some work where she took her top off for some internet photos.
Right.
Now, as a job, Frenchie and the Project Islamic Hope are complaining that it's racist that she was kicked off the show, yet Antonella Barba was not, so they had a big protest outside of Kodak Theater yesterday demanding that Frenchie be put back on the show three seasons later.
So she's back on?
Not so much.
Not so much.
And Rosie O'Donnell yesterday said in The View, in fact, the reason Frenchie Davis was booted off the show is because the show is racist.
Shut up, Rosie O'Donnell.
Here's the thing. They put plenty of black people on the show. If America chooses to vote for one person over another, it's hardly the fault of the producers of the show. I can't see how anyone could claim that show could be racist.
And black people have won.
Yes. Then Elizabeth Hasselbeck, in a rare moment of clarity, said, first of all, Frenchie did it as a job, as Kevin mentioned, and these were just personal photos of her that had been leaked to the internet.
And maybe people are paying attention more to Antonella Barber because she's more attractive than Frenchie Davis. Then Rosie O'Donnell said, well, the show is waitest then as well.
Waitest.
Waitest. That's
Ruben Studdard again.
Again. Big black guy. Winner.
Wow.
Got to answer your question, Ralph.
Oh, great. You haven't answered my trivia.
Let's go to Nicole in Marina Del Rey. Good morning.
God, I'm shaking so bad. I'm so excited.
Nicole, are you a big Nip Tuck fan? Long time?
I'm the biggest Nip Tuck fan. I have him on my MySpace. All over the place.
Nice.
Wow.
All right.
That's
then.
Great.
Easy.
I love Julie McMahon. He's all over my MySpace page.
Yeah, right. We've had him in on the show, and he is a very cool dude.
Oh.
And
a good, and good looking. Dude, I'm no Mo, but he's good looking.
He's beautiful.
If you get this answer correct, do we need to put security on you?
No, I just want to take a picture with him for my MySpace page.
All right.
You're going to be in the same room with him. Can we count on you not?
I'm going to just die right now.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe she'll be wrong. Maybe she doesn't have the right answer.
Let's tell her she's wrong no matter what she says.
Okay, good.
Who was the carver?
It was Dr. Clinton Carpta.
No, I'm so sorry. That's not close. Correct.
What?
Very close. Very, very close.
No, it was his son who looks like Michael Jackson, that kid, that dude.
You're so mean to Matt. Oh, my God.
You're so mean to Matt.
No, you're right. You're going. Hold on. We'll give you tickets, okay?
All right.
Oh, yeah. This is a mistake.
That's trouble right there. Nicole is trouble waiting to happen.
You know what? This is going to come back and bite me in the ass
big
when
time.
I'm in a courtroom testifying.
Tiffany
Mr. Garman, weren't you the ones who gave that young lady the ticket?
Tiffany from Fountain Valley also won.
Who brought the hunting knife into the evening with Nip Tuck? See it all going horribly wrong.
Carve me. Carve me.
And Lindsay Lohan says that heading into rehab saved her life. She said she got the realization when the staff there at the rehab told her if she didn't start taking care of herself, she would die. Lindsay says, I heeded what they were telling me.
Yeah, well, that's not pleasant.
Then she said, huzzah! went back to the Renaissance Fair. I heeded what they were telling me. Who uses heeded in the 21st century?
Nobody, first of all. And second of all, wasn't she the one who went to a nightclub before her final day?
Yeah, Thursday night. And then Saturday she got out. And then Friday night.
Went right to a nightclub again.
Mm-hmm. She's got a party hardy, Marty.
Okay.
Meanwhile, In Touch Weekly magazine says Lindsay Lohan is again not showing up on the set of her latest movie, I Know Who Killed Me.
Oh, no.
She's back to her old ways. She kept the cast and crew waiting for hours. And when she finally did show up, she announced she needed a nap. She went into her trailer. After the five-hour nap,
jeez,
an insider on the set claimed she threw up and immediately went home. Good day's work, Lindsay.
She's the star of the movie?
Yes.
How many people would you guess, Ralph, having been on a movie set, she was holding up all day long?
Hundreds. Literally hundreds of people.
That takes a special kind of a-holeness.
It does.
I don't think that's a word, but
at least she showed up. She drove there to throw up before she went home.
She took a nap.
Yeah. She's the best. Today's celebrity birthday is Bryan Cranston. You know him as the dad Hal on Malcolm in the Middle. He's 51 years old today. Rachel Weisz. She was the constant gardener. Well, she wasn't the constant gardener.
No.
She was in the garden someplace, though. I think she was holding the hoe. She's 36 years old today. And Laura Prepon from That 70s Show turns 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I have to play some highlights, and I say highlights with all sincerity, of the Anna Nicole coverage that's going on Entertainment Tonight and The Insider.
And The Insider, yeah.
Well, they paid big bucks to be the only camera crew in there to cover the funeral of Anna Nicole Smith, right?
Yep. So Larry Birkhead, who is the photographer, he's the guy who claims that it's his baby, blah, blah, blah. He gets up to speak in front of the church, and he explains to us his personal style of speaking. By the way, I love the music. The music that they use on these pieces are always spectacular. It's a very, very sad piano.
I'm usually not good at this kind of stuff, and I don't know who really could be. And I usually don't write things down because I like to be unrehearsed. And
say something about Anna!
Because of the situation to try to read if I can.
What about Anna? Hey, how about something about Anna? Not your own personal speaking style.
Wow.
So then he talks about the private Anna that was the good Anna that none of us knew.
Whether it was her private out-of-life headline donations to young children in need, helping raise money for worthy causes, or just staying until the last autograph was signed. She tried her best often when she didn't have the strength.
Yeah.
Did he bang the fat Anna or the thin Anna? Do you guys know?
I think the thin Anna.
Don't know. I think it was a pretty small window that it was the thin Anna. I mean,
well, she's been thin for about a year, right?
He had to be right there, right then, you know, because she went down and right back up. Here's where he calls her a liar. And I find this especially funny because he's at her funeral and he's explaining to people Anna's style of telling the truth.
If Anna Nicole was guilty of one thing.
What do you think it is, Bean? Anna Nicole guilty of one thing.
Is it loving too much?
It was that she wanted each and every one of us to feel like we were most important in her world and number one.
That's right.
That meant that we all were told maybe a little bit different version of a story, but that's okay because she did it for all of us.
Hey, you're at her funeral. How about something nice?
I love that he stands up at a memorial service and says, yeah, she was a whore and a liar.
Listen,
that's what you want.
She told us all different things because she wanted us all to feel like we were number one.
And that's why today there are 11 men who claim to be the father of her baby, because she treated us all like we were the only thing in her life.
So Larry Burkhead continues talking at her funeral and tells a very touching personal anecdote. And this is the kind of thing that you hope from somebody that gets up and speaks. You know, you all didn't know her so well. Let me tell you something about her that I know that's specific to us.
I'll never forget once we were staying in a hotel and we were checking out and I saw her pack up a few things. And I saw something go in her bag, and I asked her what it was.
Uh-oh.
And she said in her kid-like baby doll voice, nothing. And I told her I saw something, and later I found out it was the little ketchup packets in the bottles from the hotel.
So, whore, liar, now thief.
How's that a story? How do you use that story at her funeral?
It's not what you really want to be remembered for, right?
This one time I saw her putting ketchup in her purse. That was crazy.
I hope they
carved that on the tombstone.
That she was really, really poor growing up and it never left her. But he never says
I
that.
I don't know no. how that fits at
in
anyone's
any
funeral.
So she was fat and a sperm receptacle and a kleptomaniac, basically, is what he's saying at the memorial service.
But he's not there to claim any kind of relationship with her.
It's not my intention to stand up here and say what my relationship was to Anna Nicole, because I know and she knows, and we all had a different relationship with Anna Nicole, and we know and she knows.
Yeah, well, you know.
I know, and you know. And
really?
Because
she doesn't know.
Every guy here had the same relationship with her that I had. Which was a booty call at any time or day of night.
Do any of you guys remember the thing with the ketchup? Anyone here remember the ketchup? Wasn't that crazy? Oh,
dude,
the ketchup.
I know they try to make it dramatic television, but somebody has to find the dude playing that piano and has to beat him to death. I mean, really.
So they, of course, they're the ones that paid the $4 million or whatever so that they could be there, the exclusive people. So they go from the church to the actual burial site. And here's what I like. The crowd outside, when her mom shows up, boos.
Oh, my.
10:55 a.m., Virgie arrives to boos from the crowd outside the church. Inside the ceremony, a virtually empty right side of the church awaited Anna Nicole's mother.
So she's sitting by herself.
Oh, no.
That's how you want to bury your kid.
On one side of the church.
Are they booing because she's trying to get Anna's body moved out of the Bahamas and back to Texas? Is that why she's the bad guy?
I can't imagine no one booed Howard. I can't. That's, to me, he's the most tragic, ridiculous, hateful person in this whole thing.
Agree.
Hateable. So Howard gets up and he starts talking. Now, remember, there's one side of the church is full and the other side is completely empty except for her mom.
Dude.
And Howard starts to talk and looks right at her mom while giving this touching.
It's wrong for people to portray Anna the way that they did after she passed away. In the courtroom, in the media, so-called family members.
Looking right at her mom.
If these people had decency or dignity or any concern for Anna or Danny Lynn, they wouldn't have done it.
By the way, how is somebody's mother a so-called family member? That's a pretty close relationship. I don't think it's a stretch to say that they were related.
And for Howard K. Stern to stand up and talk about decency.
Yeah, no kidding.
Seriously.
How fast did he give that interview after she died?
Oh,
2 days?
Yeah, not even. He was on the plane back.
Yeah.
And by the way, she was Virgie, the mom, was saying all of these things, the concern that she had about her daughter and the drugs and the lifestyle and anything like that for a long time leading up to the death. It's not like she just came out and said all that stuff after she died. All along, she'd been saying how she was estranged from Ann and she was really concerned about the influence Howard K. Stern had on her.
Yeah. So then Howard said, hey, Entertainment Tonight, you still get to get my good side? Okay, let me continue. And so then apparently everybody grabbed a shovel. And they would...
And beat Howard K. Stern to death with
I
it?
Wish. That would be a perfect case. They would take a thing full of shovel, and they would... dirt, and they would throw it on the casket, right?
Right.
And then
right.
somebody else would step up, and they would grab the shovel, throw the dirt on the casket, and then somebody else. Well, her mom got up there and went crazy with the shovel. Listen to this.
And once she began, she was determined. She did not want the funeral here, but was obviously not ready to leave.
Okay, so her mom is now shoveling like a crazy woman, going back for dirt, over. And she won't stop.
We don't know what was behind her effort. Perhaps she wanted to remind people this was her daughter being buried. But Virgie continued for nearly 2 minutes in the stifling heat, moving over 50 shovelfuls of earth onto Anna's grave.
That's tragic. Everybody's that's really like, sad.
Hey, one each. Only one each, please.
You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever dirt you're throwing on the casket, Howard's going to dig the dirt back up and sell it in one-ounce bags on eBay.
That's very true.
Actual dirt from the funeral.
So she's just making him money by doing 50 full shovels
exactly.
of dirt.
Exactly.
So she's just, that's making it. So that's the fantastic coverage that's going on. Pat O'Brien?
The three mourners, her ex-boyfriend, her partner, and her mother, are forever divided in life. But for this moment, they are united in grief.
Oh, it's so nice.
Got the choir in the background. That's good work.
You think they're done?
They got to be done.
Oh, no, God, no. The reception is tonight. They're covering
there's
the reception.
More?
Oh, yeah, they got the cameras at the reception. That's just the funeral.
Oh, my God. At any point, did anyone stand up and say,
Anna?
I don't think so, no. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You call in, you get on the air, and we give you a prize.
Well, it's too much again today. You not only win a pair of tickets to see your Los Angeles Kings take on the Chicago Blackhawks Thursday, March 15th at Staples Center, but we'll throw in a pair of passes to the K-Rock premiere screening of Shooter. That's tomorrow night in Westwood. That looks good, right, with Mark Wahlberg?
What's the name of the movie?
Shooter?
I saw that on the passenger seat of Mike's car.
I don't think like that's
a movie called Shooter. He's got. He's returning back to the video store.
I think right. that's a different.
It's the one
film
with Peter North, right?
Oh, I think the star is Mark Wahlberg.
Different one.
Also a pair of. How about this? How about a $25 Pizza Hut gift card? So you get all of that just for being on the air with us at 1-800-520-1067.
All right, let's begin with Manuel in West Covina. Good morning.
What's up there, sweet cheeks? How you doing?
I guess you're meeting me.
Next segment.
That was for Lisa.
Sweet cheeks.
I like it.
Next week we start. What's up there, sweet cheeks?
That's for all of you.
I like that. All right, what's going on, Manuel?
And Lisa, oh my God, if I weren't married and you gave a damn,
That's funny.
Neither of those are the case.
You aren't, and she doesn't. All right, what are you calling about?
I'm calling about Dave Matthews on House last night.
Was it good? I didn't see it. I knew he was on. I taped it, but I haven't seen that episode yet.
TiVo as well.
It was pretty good.
Yeah,
I watched it. Awesome. It's funny because I love Dave Matthews. I don't know if you do, Manuel. I'm a big fan of his. And, he plays guitar most of the time, but he's fantastic on the piano. And he plays a piano savant who was a kid in an accident who got these unbelievable abilities to be this piano prodigy.
Yet does he bring the piano in with him to the hospital? How does it work?
They actually push a piano into the hospital room with him because, House is trying to figure out what's going on in his brain and stuff. But, yeah, I thought Dave Matthews, I know he's done a little bit of acting before this. I thought he did a real nice job on the show last night.
I have the fire dancer tattooed on my arm.
You have the fire dancer tattooed on your arm?
Yeah.
Excellent.
What Dave Matthews actually drew.
Yes, you hold on.
All right.
Okay, hold right on.
So he's okay. A big fan,
okay.
Long time him.
Not so much from you.
It's okay.
Wow, that scared me.
Yeah.
It was all going perfectly fine, and then boom, scared me. Jason in Moreno Valley, good morning.
Hey, what a do.
What a do.
What a do to you.
Hey, I was driving down the 405 yesterday, and I look over, there's a guy in a minivan, and he's shaving his face. And I look at him, and he flips me off just out of the blue. I didn't do nothing to him.
You mean you didn't say, hey, how about steering, paying attention, making fun of him? You didn't flip him off? Nothing?
Nothing. I mean, I just took off, man. Guy freaked me out. Gave him this evil look.
How dare you stare at him in the privacy of his own bathroom? Man's just trying to shave, and there you are looking at him.
No, Ralph, I think he said that the guy was driving at the time.
Oh,
you
should have shot him dead then.
I don't think that's the case either, necessarily. Thank you for the call, Jason. I don't want to take Zach, but I have to. I'm drawn to it. Zach in Cypress. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Popo's out.
And to you as well.
What it do, nephew?
Listen, I have to tell you the story about the good-looking chick in the building next to us.
Okay. Okay.
We have a problem with some of the pipes in our building for some reason. If a toilet overflows, for some reason or another, crap just flows into our building.
Oh, no. Don't suck us in with a story about a hot girl and then go south like this. Come on, Zach.
I'm going to get to it. Don't worry.
No, but there can be no good connection now that you've started this way.
No. I mean like human crap.
Okay, listen, right. We understand. Do you think we don't get that point?
All right, listen.
You know what a little scooter, you know what a little rascal scooter is?
Listen.
All right, get back to the hot chick.
So we run, and no one flushed the toilet in our building. So one of our guys runs to the next door office and says, did somebody flush a toilet? And all of a sudden this little voice goes, maybe, I don't know, maybe. And he goes, no. This is a yes or no question. And there's crap flowing in our building. And then there's this cute little girl plunging away at the toilet going, oh, yeah, I did. And we're like, oh, no, the cute girl blew up the toilet.
Wow.
It was pretty disgusting.
Exciting story.
Thanks for the call. Wow.
Swing and a miss.
Oh, man. I've got the cute girl's crap tattooed on my forearm.
Anytime there's a hot chick and a crap story,
no good can come from it.
Keep that to yourself. He tried to make it sound like he was going to be able to save the story, but he was wrong.
Yeah. Valerie in Riverside, good morning.
Good morning. What do you do, nephew?
What do you do, baby boo?
I'm actually calling. This is actually a story for Bean.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm calling about the Postmaster General, your idol.
Sweet Jack, right?
Bean, who calls him Sweet Jack, by the way, and I can't bring this up enough because it's really, really still impossible for me to believe. But when Bean was in high school, he had the Postmaster General on a poster on his bedroom wall. I'm sorry, what, Valerie?
That's just gay.
Yeah, she doesn't mean that. But look, all of us have dreams when we're little kids, and then as we become adults, we realize those dreams are out of our reach,
right,
and
but
we're
most
crushed
of us
and broken
play,
humans.
Play basketball, be in a band, you know, something.
That was Bean's reach.
Something
that was
fun.
He was shooting for Postmaster General. That's where he set the bar for his dreams.
Yeah, all right, so Valerie, keep going.
I'm actually calling because I saw a story online that talked about what the Postmaster General's brilliant idea was. People were complaining about the wait at the post office.
Mm-hmm.
And so he decided to avoid people complaining about waiting in line to remove all clocks from all post offices.
So he's not going to speed up the line by hiring more employees or whatever. He's just going to make sure they don't know how long they're waiting.
Right, because none of us have cell phones or watches to look at, of course.
Right.
Yeah, that's the part of the story I'm not sure I follow. I don't know what, unless it's a cost-saving thing.
Yeah, it's a cost-saving
thing. Well, I'm just saying, you don't have to clocks these days. You just can't possibly.
They've
put
got
them everywhere.
You've got to get rid of those clocks.
In fact, they're so expensive, we have to remove them from buildings.
They take
up money.
What I'm saying, Ralph, is that there's 37,000 post offices in this country, and that's a lot of clocks to maintain. Maybe it's a money-saving thing, because I don't know how it helps with making people feel like they're still not in line a long time.
They're going to fire all the clock maintenance workers?
You don't have to maintain clocks.
You have to buy them. You have to put them on the wall. You have to change the batteries.
I lost my job today. They fired the clock maintenance staff. I no longer have to wind.
It's just being just admit that it's the guy trying to make sure people don't know how long they're waiting. That's all.
But I agree with Valerie. I don't know how that helps. Most people don't count on the clock in the post office. They use their own watch or their phone.
We're saying Sweet Jack is an ass.
He's an ass. I'm saying Sweet Jack must know something because he never makes mistakes. So whatever he's doing, I'm for.
That's what I'm saying. Ass Jack made a bad decision.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's close with, we got to close with David and Linwood, I think. I mean, we got to go out on a happy note, right?
David, good morning.
Hey, good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Well, what it do, nephew? Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Go ahead.
And go.
Well,
have you heard the show, David? You know when you call in, then you talk.
All right, go ahead.
First of all, I was worried. I'm a part-time meter reader for the gas company.
You're a meter reader for the gas company. Okay.
Right, no fair bragging. Just get to the story.
And I went to this one certain yard in El Sereno.
He saw a customer having sex. Okay, I can't.
No.
I can't listen to him tell that story. He saw someone having sex when he was reading a gas meter, and that's what he gave us.
You're a part-time meter reader. How many hours a week are you working? That's what I wanted to know, pretty much.
How can you not tell that story? Listen to me, people. Here's the thing. Something great happens.
you saw someone have sex. Start 10 seconds before that. Say, I read meters for the gas company. I looked at a window.
Turned a corner.
Boom, saw sex. That's how you tell the story. You get right to it.
No, no. I want to hear about the city and how long
I'm a part-time meter reader. When I'm not reading meters, right. I'm spending other time in business school. I'm currently taking a class in economics.
Zach, how much crap was there?
No.
Oh, no.
Please, Kevin. You're being desperate.
Somebody flushing your ears. Yes or no question.
See, ladies? You know, if they put the What I Do Nephew segments from the last week in a time capsule for people in 100 years to find, they would wonder how this society didn't just burn itself out.
They
would look back at people in the 21st century and say, what was wrong with them?
Wasn't Monday the best set of calls we've had in a year?
Yeah, yes. It was awesome.
Yesterday we had
all the good calls on one day, right? That's what happened.
Wall-to-wall solid on Monday.
And then today we had the hot girl with the crap.
Exactly.
Guy shaving, flipped him off.
All right, I want to thank our many, many guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
I don't do it full-time because I can't get a job full-time, right. But I do read meters occasionally.
You'd be surprised how hard it is to work for the gas company. They put you through a part-time process before they hire you on full-time.
A lot of times it's hard to find the meter to read, even.
It's a skill, you know. Meter reading isn't as easy as some people might
think. Right side of the house? You don't know. You got to go both sides sometimes.
Yeah. I cannot remember a time before you started telling that story.
Well, get to the looking at the sex part. People, that's just our advice to you on the telling those stories.
If we need details, we'll draw them out of you. We'll ask the pertinent questions to get to the bottom of the big mystery.
10 seconds before the punchline, that's all we need.
We don't even need that.
Blender!
Thanks to Sick Puppies for joining us. Their CD is in stores and available for download on Tuesday, April 3rd, called Dressed Up as Life. Their EP is available everywhere now. And you can still get tickets, as we understand, through Ticketmaster for their show tonight at the Troubadour. That was a nice performance, and we'll probably end up putting that up online for you if you missed it earlier today.
Also, tomorrow morning we have an all-new show for you. We have Gerard Butler, who is the star of 300.
Kat Corbett cannot stop touching herself to the idea of Gerald Butler.
She's very excited.
She's never looking at his pictures on the internet. She's just strumming the banjo. We had to tie her down.
Ralph, I should have learned my lesson to not ask you any questions about show business, but I know he was Phantom on... Was he Phantom in the movie or just on stage?
In the feature film.
Oh, so I have seen his face then, or half of his face anyway, I guess.
Yes.
So is that the only thing we would know him from before this 300
movie?
He's
done a lot of work in the UK, I believe. Not so much in America.
But this movie's supposed to be terrific, right?
Yeah.
This looks good. So we got him tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com tomorrow. We got to talk to Shotgun about how, first of all, he won't die. And second of all, Scooter Libby taking the fall for him. We got to talk to him about that tomorrow. Have you have we mentioned that to the vice president?
I heard rumors that
you had heard that.
I had heard went over the red line. I saw lighting on the red line in the other studio.
Excellent.
I figured he was talking to Dick.
Excellent.
Dick Cheney. I bet the vice president, if I know anything about Dick Cheney, doesn't even care that they're sending Scooter to jail.
No. He made peace with that before he sent him down there to take the fall.
Yeah, he was the sacrificial lamb. He was supposed to go to jail. He did the right thing.
There's never been a fall guy more than him.
Fell on the sword.
And also tomorrow morning, we have more tickets for you to see My Chemical Romance this weekend. And don't forget, Friday is the day that you can win the tickets and the Nintendo Wii system. And you get to go down and play with the band at one of their shows this weekend. So,
pretty sweet. Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Pain. It's new music from 3 Days Grace. Also some Red Hot Chili Peppers, Jane's Addiction, Naive from the Kooks, Muse, Temple of the Dog, and so much more. Right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.